Meeting, Venter City Planning Board of August 12, 2020 is now in session. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag.
All right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic
which stands one nation under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Will
the board administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Landgraf?
Here.
Commissioner Kriebel? Tom Halpin?
Yes, here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Roman Zabby Hutch?
Here.
Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Taco?
Here.
Tim Coop?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
And Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
Okay, are we complete? The roll call is complete?
Yes.
Okay. At this time, our new vice chairman, Roman Zabby Hutch, would like to make a few comments.
Well, thank you, Jay. I'd like to thank the board members for their vote of confidence in me to become the vice chairman. I'd like to say it's a great honor to succeed Tom McAdams. He did a great job as vice chairman for the board. I appreciate the knowledge and perspective that he had, that he brought to the board and the limited time that I was on the planning board. And I think he will be greatly missed. So, once again, thank you for your vote of confidence. I appreciate it.
Yeah, congratulations, Roman.
Congrats, thank welcome.
Congratulations. Okay.
At this time, we'll move to adoption of minutes. We have the minutes of July 27th, 2020. Are there any corrections or additions to said minutes?
Motion to approve.
Okay, do we have a second? Do we have a second on that? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I will abstain on those. I was missing.
Okay. We have one abstention, and the minutes are hereby approved. This evening, there are no resolutions to be approved, so Jay, we'll move on. To
the, all right. Yes.
Jay, can I interrupt you real quick? It's Leo. Yes. I sent over to Carmella just one amendment as far as resolutions. I sent over to Carmella just resolution 23 of 2020. I emailed it to everybody. It's just confirming Roman's election as the new vice chairman. So I just called it the planning board of the city of Ventnor resolution 23-2020 election of new vice chairperson for the remainder of the year 2020. It's very short and it just confirms that at the last meeting we appointed him. So if there's just a motion and a second and an all in favor to adopt that.
Please, Landgraf. Now we have a second.
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 All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. That resolution is resolution 23-2020 is hereby adopted. Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I have to recuse myself for this first application. I'm within 200 feet.
With that is the McGinty application?
Yes.
Okay, it's 135 and 137 North Surrey Avenue. Correct. Okay, Peter, if you step away from the board, if you could please separate yourself, and then you'll join the board back in for the rest of it.
Okay.
Thank you very much. At this time, there's one change to the application, and that is that 4 North Marion Avenue will not be heard this evening. It is not going to be requiring a variance, and Mr. McLaren, you have to be sworn first, if you could, please.
Sure, Mr. McLaren, just please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth? Roger, did you hear me?
I do.
Thanks.
Okay. Roger, could you explain to everyone, including those that are listening, the reason that for North Marion, that would be Mr. Is it Guerrera?
Yes.
Is that the proper pronunciation?
Yes.
It will not be needing a variance. There is a determination that's been made. And if Roger, can you please explain? And then afterwards, Leo, if you give a couple of comments on the reasons why.
Sure, Mr.
Okay,
Chairman.
The
city's ordinance allows an existing porch, if it encroaches into the front yard setback more than 4 feet, if it's existing and the house meets the front yard setback requirements, which Fort Marion does, that you can add a second floor deck at those dimensions without a variance. So then you go back to the definition of porch, and a porch is defined as an existing structure with a partial or full canopy or roof above it. The house had an aluminum awning above the front door, so it qualified as a partial covering of the front porch. So it meets the intent of the ordinance that allows that second floor deck or roof to cover it without a variance. I imagine that ordinance was revised in 2005 because there's probably a lot of similar situations in the R7 zone.
Okay. So has the applicant been informed of the finding here that they do not need a variance for the work that was done?
It looks like he's on the call. I don't know if anyone's told him.
Roger, have you talked to the applicant at all?
I did not officially talk to him, no.
We should let him on. He's on here. Mr. Guerrera?
Mr. Guerrera?
Jim, could you unmute Mr. Guerrera?
I'm trying to unmute him. It's not letting me unmute him. And then I asked him to start his video, too.
Leo, while he's doing that, maybe Leo and Roger, can you guys clarify some things for me on this?
Sure.
The photograph that was on the tax record photograph, it was redundant, showed a very small front porch awning. It was a aluminum, very maybe 5 feet wide by whatever.
Correct.
Now this
whole entire
porch.
You guys hear me?
Porch.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I think I got the audio working. I was told that I needed a variance and went through the application and sent out all the mailings. And so that has already been done.
Right.
I was told by the city officials to do that.
Right. This is something that's been going on in a finding and that we worked with to determine it was questionable, and then we went through the whole process and then attempted to be, in all fairness to you, to do the right thing. And this is what was resolved after reviewing everything. There's a bit of discussion going on right now, which I'd like to complete. But at this time, that's where we are. And so we would not be at the... So let's complete the discussion first that we have here, Mr. Guerrera, and then we'll get back to you within a minute. So just listen in.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
So just to be clear, so Mr. Guerrera understands what happened, is when our engineer and solicitor started reviewing the application, they didn't believe that it needed a variance. So I guess in abundance of caution, the construction or zoning officer said, go to the board, get the variance. And then when the review started to occur, it came back that it did not need a variance. That's correct, Roger?
Yes.
So we might want to start looking at these because, look, I've done these applications and I did them for my own projects here at the house. You know, Mr. Guerrera probably spent $300-$400 to notify everybody.
Correct.
I'd like to try and get a little better at catching these things ahead of time so that our residents don't have to expend those funds. And Mr. Greer, you don't have an attorney, correct?
No, I don't. It was little bit more than $300 or $400.
Yeah. So
everything I
apologize for that.
And the mailing alone was almost $500.
Yeah. So, I mean, the good news is you don't need a variance, apparently.
That's great. I didn't think I did need one.
Yeah. So what I'm going to talk to our zoning officer in the coming weeks to make sure that Roger gets to see some of this stuff before notice occurs. Roger, what I do in Brigantine is I review the applications for completeness and I make sure they need those variances first.
Right.
And then I advise Carmella, I advise Dana over there that it's complete and it needs these variances before they make that notice. So I'd like to try and get that process in so this doesn't happen to other residents. I mean, it's an expense. It's good you don't have to sit for the rest of the meeting, Mr. Greer, because you've got your approval, or you will have when Jimmy issues it.
No, but, thank you. I appreciate it. I did bring it to the city officials that every house up that particular block was built out beyond what I was trying to do, and all I was trying to do was put a roof over an existing patio that was there, you know, since the house was built. But I appreciate the effort, you guys. And
Lance, can we start a process by somehow refunding the fees that Mr. Guerrero paid?
He'll get the fees that he submitted to us. What we can't do is, because he's already paid for the mailing to go out to the residents, that 200-foot owners list. He's already paid for that. We can give him back his submission fees.
Doesn't the city have a responsibility to make it right for this man? I mean, that doesn't seem right.
Well, he's getting back all his application fees.
Well,
and he said he spent.
May I interject in here? What probably would have happened in this case with the dispute going on between the thing is we were going to go through an interpretation with the board. So probably the noticing would have been appropriate at that time, because we would have done an interpretation first to determine the need. But Lance, I agree with you. I do agree with you, Lance. But that was in the offing for Mr. Guerrero, so that we would actually try to figure out exactly from an interpretation on this whole thing first. But that was determined that we didn't need to go that far. And so we went to this step, which is a little unprecedented, but it was trying to be in all fairness to you.
Carmella, what were the fees in the escrow that he submitted?
It was a $200 application fee and a $600 escrow fee.
So he will get all that back, correct?
If that's what we're doing, yes, I will make sure he gets that back.
Well, this is... You know, what's the monopoly? You know, the bank has made an error in your favor. So I think, in fairness, the municipality should pay him back his application fee. Like I said, the money's already been spent that he spent on the postal, you know, mailing all the notices. But we can certainly refund his escrow and application fee.
That's very good.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Mr. Greer, thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.
I will be in touch with you, Mr. Guerrero, and I will contact the finance, and we'll, you know, send you a letter and what to do on how to get everything back.
Thank you so much.
Take care of all that. You're welcome.
Well, I'm happy to hear what Lance said. I think we can make this process a little bit more streamlined and prevent other people having to pay fees if they don't really have to. So that's a good thing for us. I think we're a very positive board on that regard.
I think so. And I think it's not a common problem, but it can be. And every time we can avoid it, Lance, I think it's in the city's best interest and everyone in the community's best interest. So
agreed.
We'll move on. And thank you for advancing that, Lance, by the way.
Yep.
Okay. We're going to move into, Leo, have you gone further on that application, or are we complete with it?
We're complete, and he can proceed and
okay,
and get whatever permits he needs.
Okay, fine. So we're going to move right on to the first application this evening, and that would be that of Joseph and Donna McGinty, 135-137 North Surrey Avenue. They're seeking C variances. Scott Abbott is representing, to my knowledge. If you could have them come forward, please, and or get them ready for presentation, I'd appreciate it. Roger, are you going to give a preamble first on this one?
I can, sir.
Please do.
Thank you.
Get everybody in place.
You want to get them sworn in first?
Yeah, everybody sworn. Let's get everybody sworn in, and who's ever going to speak, and then we'll have everybody so we can listen and have this move forward.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Good. Okay. Good.
Who's present in that part in that as the applicants?
Mr. Chairman, John Scott Abbott. I'm here on behalf of the applicants. I have Joe McGinty, and I believe his wife Donna is present with him. He's the applicant. Our main witness is Tom Dace, licensed engineer and planner of Arthur W. Ponzio Company and Associates. We have our submission package in. We have a copy of the memorandum from Mr. McLernan's memorandum of August 9, and we're ready to proceed.
Okay. Who are you going to have sworn in? Please have them.
Tom Dace and Joe McGinty.
Okay, let's have them sworn in now, please.
Tom and Mr. McGinty, if you can each state your name and an address or business address for the record, I'll swear you in together.
Thomas Days, 400 North Dover Avenue, Arthur W. Ponzio Company Associates.
And Mr. McGinty, your name and address for the record, please.
Joseph McGinty, 36 Wicklow Drive, Tabernacle, New Jersey.
And please each raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Let's reflect that Tom Days has appeared before this board many times and his credentials are acceptable.
Okay, and Tom, engineer and planner?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Scott, we're gonna have our Roger McLernan give a preamble on his first.
Okay.
On what's occurring, and then you'll come in with your application.
Perfect.
Roger, please proceed.
Thank you. The report is dated August 9th, 2020, in regards to the application of Joseph and Donna McGinty, 135-137 North Surrey Avenue, Block 149, Lots 11 and 12. I presume these lots will be consolidated. Engineering and planning report seeking C variances within the R7 zoning district. Preliminary firm zone elevation 10. The application is being deemed complete. Hardship variance and a substantial benefit variance. The bottom of page one includes the materials reviewed, including the planning board application, site photos, certified tax list for both lots. Permit application, they have received permits to do the bulkhead and the cracker for the structure itself. There's a variance plan provided by Arthur Ponzio, and then there are 12 sheets, architectural renderings from Gene Grimaldi, registered architect, dated February 10th, 2020. The project description is as follows. The applicant proposes to construct a new flood-compliant single-family dwelling located partially upland of a new bulkhead and with a portion of the dwelling over open water. Lot 11 has an existing structure, while lot 12 is vacant. The only portion of the building permitted over the water is on old lot 11. Two lots are being combined to one lot, so a lot consolidation plan is required or proof of thereof. The house was likely damaged during Superstorm Sandy and currently has a dilapidated timber bulkhead that will be replaced with a compliant bulkhead within 24 inches of the existing timber bulkhead. This type of project, it is not unusual along the East Canal and other water bodies in Ventnor along Ventnor West, and the board should be quite familiar. It seems like we've had one of these every month. The new bulkhead only strengthens the resiliency intended for the low-lying areas, and the redevelopment plan provided by the city So this, the bulkhead will help the situation. Bottom of page two is the zoning schedule for R7 zoning district. Highlighted areas are page three is the continuation of the zoning schedule. Highlighting the variances needed. Page four are the variances. I will go through those one at a time. The first one is lot depth, where 62.5 feet is the minimum permitted for all uses. 29.27 feet exists for the upland portion of lot 11 and a lot including the bulkhead, and 29.27 feet is proposed at the least distance. The other portion of old lot 12 actually has a more lot depth, but it's still less than the required. Front yard setback for the building, whereas 12 feet is a minimum required setback for all principal and accessory uses, and 5 feet is proposed. Rear yard setback to the building, whereas 12 feet, again, all the measurements are taken to the bulkhead as per the ordinance. Whereas 12 feet is a minimum required rear yard setback for all principal and accessory uses, and 0 feet is proposed because the building extends into the water. Rear yard setbacks for the decks for second and third floor, whereas 6 feet is the minimum required rear yard setback for all decks, and 0 feet is proposed. Rear yard deck height for the second floor and the third floor, whereas no decks are permitted to be higher than the first floor. And the rear yard, again, because they are in the rear yard, technically, but they are higher than the first floor, so they need a variance for each one. Lot coverage, whereas the maximum permitted lot coverage for this district is 75%, and 78.5% is proposed. Not bad for a small lot. Off-street parking spaces, whereas the minimum off-street parking space required for 6 bedrooms is 4 spaces. 0 spaces exist, 2 are proposed. So a variance of 4 spaces is required based on table 1 and definitions. A landscaping total area, whereas 25% of the lot is required to be landscaped and 21.5% is proposed. Landscaping total shrubs, whereas 35 shrubs are required and 11 are proposed. It may be more of a design waiver. Curb cuts, whereas 2 driveway curb cuts with conditions are permitted, the conditions are not being met. So an 18-foot wide maximum driveway curb cut is permitted, and a 24-foot wide curb cut is proposed. So a variance is required for that. Waivers, none requested. However, I would suggest that street trees be requested and granted. The low-lying area. I will discuss some of the comments that I made. The required minimum lot depth of 62.5 feet cannot be met for the upland portion of the property. Therefore, a hardship variance is required. Front yard setback is not being met for the unique shape and location of the upland portion of the lot. A variance is required, although an additional 8 feet of setback could be obtained, but it's at a severe reduction of the dwelling depth. The rear deck is required to be higher than the first floor, and 2 decks are being proposed. Again, that was discussed just recently. Off-street parking requirements in short floor spaces, or 2 spaces, I'm sorry. The plans do not indicate whether or not Phil is proposed to elevate the property. I see in some areas that the existing elevation of less than 1.6 feet is upland of the bulkhead, so that area will be underwater most of the time. I did not see filling permitted in the CAFR permit, but the applicant can discuss that. The garage doors are set back from the property line, and the one side looks like it could be used to fit a car, but if a car is there, it would encroach into the public sidewalk. I'm just looking at a point. It's a nuisance when cars park in front of the sidewalk and block a pedestrian passageway. The total landscaping is not being met due to the reduction of lot coverage. Again, it's not by much, and it is low, so not a whole lot is going to be growing successfully here. The elevated walkway on the right side of the building is not being used as a necessary means of egress and ingress from the property. I asked the applicant to confirm the top of the bulkhead elevation that will be meeting and exceeding the minimum required by the city. The recommendations are any landscaping should be put in a raised planting bed to be above nuisance flooding. Street trees are required, but that should be waived at this location. We haven't passed to waive those requirements. I don't see the point in requiring a street tree when the success rate would be very low. All downspouts for the roof shall be directed into the open water to reduce the load on the storm sewer system. DEP allows that for roof runoff and it's deemed complete or clean water. Construction details shall be provided. They have provided most or all of them. And looks like the permits have been received. Please confirm that the lots will be consolidated and all utility costs shall be borne by the owner at no cost to the city. That concludes my report at this time. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Mr. Abbott.
Chairman Cook, members of the board, members of the public, John Scott Abbott. Yeah. I'm here for the applicant. Tom Case is my number one witness. What we're doing is basically a brand new home, waterfront property, old home that you can see in the picture in Roger's memorandum has been torn down. The bulkhead has already been replaced. I'll let Tom Dace speak with regard to the elevation of the ground and the bulkhead, as well as the justification for the variances. But primarily it's because under the Ventnor ordinance, the area that's although record title, in fact, is I got a riparian grant for a portion of this property years ago, Billy Vance, when he owned it. Record title portion of it is underwater. So, but under your ordinance, you don't allow that to be included as for your bulk requirements. Thus, most of the variances we are asking for are because of that ordinance requirement and the uniqueness of the lot in that portions of it are underwater, portions of it are upland, and we don't have that depth of upland to eliminate, for instance, the front yard setback. That being said, Tom, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, and board members, you have the variance plan, which would be probably the easiest to follow along with your eye. But Tom, I'm not going to steal your thunder. How would you like to begin?
Mr. McLaren, I went through all the variances. We agree that they're all the variances we need. So I guess for the most part, I'll quickly summarize those variances and then go into them. Again, because of the configuration of the bulkhead, the lot depth is 29.27 feet at the narrowest. You know, that is what it is. We're not allowed to move the bulkhead back under waterfront development rules from the DEP. So that's what McGinty's have to work with.
Pursuant to a DEP permit, correct?
Correct, which we have. We have the DEP permit. We actually did construct the bulkhead. The bulkhead is at elevation 8, the top of the bulkhead, which meets your ordinance. We also have permits to reconstruct the house and the footprint that we show on our plan with CAFRA. Actually, the house that was on the CAFRA approval was a little bit larger. We actually scaled it back a little bit. And the architect did some things to kind of mix up the architecture. I know a lot of you are concerned about the bulk of the structure. So that was reduced in a little bit from the CAFRA approved plan. We do need a front yard setback. That is one of the setback variances we're asking for. We're asking for a 5-foot setback, whereas 12 would be required. And again, that's because of the depth of the lot. The lot is so narrow, we can't expand waterward of where we are in some areas. So because of that, we think it's reasonable to request this front yard setback variance.
Consistent with much of the development in the area?
It is consistent with the neighborhood, yes. The other variance, the deck height variance in the rear, Mr. McLaren addressed that in his report. We don't have a backyard neighbor. We don't have these high decks that are peering into someone's rear yard over a fence or anything like that. We're looking out over the water. So we believe for those reasons, these variances, are reasonable requests. The building coverage.
We're going to go down and take a look at it.
We actually meet the requirement. We're 47%. The lot coverage, we do need a small variance of 3.5%.
Yeah, since
again, we've minimized any coverage.
Then they would have received it.
Can everybody still hear me?
I think somebody's talking on the phone.
Somebody's either got a mute. If somebody's talking, They have to mute their phone. Okay. And anybody that's not testifying, mute their phone on your party, please, or someone else, somewhere else.
Yeah, and, I could be wrong, but it sounds like Mr. McGinty's having trouble hearing us, and he's talking to whoever he's with, expressing that concern, but we can all hear him. So is that correct? Okay.
All right, well, I think I'll continue. Is that good?
Yes, please.
All right. Yeah, please continue in here.
All right, so we're asking for a lot coverage variance. Again, we're 3.5% over. I mean, if you look at the plan, we've minimized. There's not a lot of hardscaping. There's not a lot of extra that we're asking for. It's just a function of the usable upland area that we have. That for this, you know, for everything we need for this house, that's where we end up being, even though we're well under for building coverage. As I said, I mean, all of these variances are directly related to the depth of the lot and where the bulkhead is. I know this is very common on these lots, and we believe that the variances we're asking for are, we think, reasonable given the overall development of the site. One of the other variances we need is a parking variance. There are 6 bedrooms, so 4 parking spaces would be required by your ordinance. Again, due to the depth of the lot, we can't really double stack cars in the garage, so they have to be on their side. And whenever you get into adding more than 2 side by side, now we start looking at asking for increased curb cuts. We take away on-street parking spaces. So we believe that what we're asking for is a reasonable request to have a parking variance here. Because again, we said we can't provide any more parking spaces on site without eliminating on-street parking for the neighborhood. So we think we strike a balance there that is a pretty good plan.
Mr. Days, I'd like to talk to you about that. We'll bring that issue up and we're going to revisit the parking on here.
Okay.
Please continue with everything you're doing and then we'll revisit that.
All right. Like we said, what we're asking for is consistent with the surrounding development. The front yard setback is consistent. We are removing an old dilapidated structure. We are replacing that with a FEMA compliant, flood resilient structure. We have replaced the bulkhead in anticipation of being able to develop this lot with a bulkhead that meets your ordinance, top of bulkhead at 8, elevation 8 in 88 datum. So for all those things, we believe that, the overall benefits of this application outweigh any of the potential detriments. And we don't believe that we negatively impact your zoning. Because again, we have a lot of hardships and unique characteristics of this lot that necessitate the variances we're requesting tonight.
And we've asked for a waiver for some of the landscaping requirements, Mr. Dace.
Yeah, I don't think we did ask for a waiver, but as Mr. McLaren pointed out, we would request a waiver for street trees. We don't propose any. We don't think it would be feasible to keep anything growing here. We think, again, that's consistent with the development of that neighborhood.
Okay. Anything else you want to add, Tom?
I believe that's all. Just
responding to questions. Great. That's good. Mr. Chairman, you wanted us to address something?
Yeah. Are you complete with everything that you're presenting?
I think so, yes.
Roger McLaren? Roger? Roger?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to talk about this parking for a second in here because we're 2 parking places short. And I know they're talking about not putting curb cuts in. And I'm trying to look at the dimensions of the in the garage and whether or not there's enough from the back wall of the middle, I guess we're going to call it the larger garage, to the sidewalk, to the property line, put 2 cars in there and possibly advance the garage door in further. I'm questioning whether we would need 38 feet to do that. And I don't think 38 is there. Am I correct in that?
I'm not sure exactly if I'm following you on that. So the middle garage.
Okay. In the middle garage, between the back wall and the property line, which would be the sidewalk in front of where the car is permitted. How many feet do you have?
32 feet.
How many?
32.
32 feet. So yes, you're 6 feet short of putting two parking places in. So I was looking if we could, if there was possibility we could stack parking there, but we can't.
That's
and
correct.
Mr. Chairman, we can't move the rear wall closer to the bulkhead. I don't think we're allowed to.
Well, I'm not asking you to. I'm just going along with what the plan is here. And then the second place is where there's additional room, is there's 12 feet on the side yard in there. I know there's stairs in there and there's other things that are located, but there may be sufficient in there with ribbons or Gobi, some of the Gobi type stuff that doesn't build a lot of coverage up to put additional parking on that side because the parking is tight in this neighborhood.
Well, you know, Mr. Chairman, let me address that for a minute. Yes, I mean, we could ask for a variance
to have another curb.
And what that would do is eliminate an on-street parking to give us an off-street parking if and when we ever have a need for another car.
That's what we're talking about, the wisdom of all this, Scott.
I think you guys have actually been very smart about recognizing that and that you're better off to have the on-street parking for the whole neighborhood. That's how we looked at it, and that's why we issued.
Okay. Well, I'm bringing this up so the board can discuss this, and we can ferret it out a little bit, but it appears there is potentially room for four. It could be worked out for four spaces on the lot. But you are right. There was lose some with the cuts with the additional curb cuts. It would lose off street parking. So I just raised the issue because we're trying to be thorough in this whole thing. Are there any comments? Are there any comments from board members regarding this, or Roger, or anybody wants to chime in?
I looked at adding a parking space there too. That's a difficult proposition there because you're going to have to give up something else. It's going to exacerbate another variance. Lot coverage, curb cut width. I think as you slide closer to the intercoastal waterway, the bulkhead moves in. Plus, it's a low lying lot. There's a lot of work that needs to be done on this lot to even put a garage on there.
Could the rear wall be moved back like the chairman suggested? You know, not that he suggested that this should happen, but
I didn't suggest moving the rear wall back.
But I know you didn't, but I'm suggesting maybe the wall can be moved back. The deck is pretty big, and for the convenience of having the ability of having two cars in the garage both slots would be advantageous, not only for the owner but also for the neighbors.
Tom, can you answer that? I think there was an issue with the DEP wanting us to have the structure 10 foot off the bulkhead, I believe.
Correct. That setback is in the CAFR permit that we have. And I'd have to go back and check. I'd have to be permitted to in that the existing structure that was there I think for that lot, we may have done under a jurisdictional determination. I'd have to look into it. It would definitely present new challenges with the DEP to get closer to the bulkhead at this point.
No, I guess the answer to that is it really not feasible for us to move that wall closer to the bulkhead.
Okay. Yeah, you do have a couple of feet. I mean, if you move it back, I mean, you have, it looks like 14 feet. You can move it 4 feet more until you get to the 10-foot mark.
We still don't have enough.
Okay.
We're still short on footage, no matter what. That's the problem. Okay.
So can I ask a question on the jogging of that second garage?
Yeah.
That's just an architectural feature there?
Yes.
Because you won't be able to park a car in front of either one of these garage doors.
That's the concern on the left side.
Yeah. Someone said there's a garage on the right side. I'm not seeing that on the architectural plans.
No, there's two garages side by side.
Yeah, that's all there is. There's no third garage.
That's all there is.
In the middle of the garage, there's stuff in there. So I think they're avoiding that.
Lance, the side yard is 12 feet.
I understand that.
Right.
You were describing the garage as the middle garage. There is no middle garage. There's the left one and the right one.
Right. That is correct.
The middle space, okay. He has a little bit more room in the back, so that he has the ability to pull the car in, but still have room for storage and stuff.
Right, sure. I get it. I get that. But that's something that you know, we had this discussion on the project or the property on Derby, I think it was, a month or two ago, where, you know, we were worried about the depth of the parking space that didn't have a garage in front of it. This is not even close. It's only 11 feet to the shorter garage and 4 or so feet to the property line. I'm looking for the dimension there, 5 feet. So I just want to make it very clear that the condition of any approval that this might receive, no parking will be permitted in front of those garages.
Yes.
That's understood.
Because they will block the sidewalk.
Right, you can't do that.
And Roger, I had another question. I'm looking at the building coverage on the chart. It says 47%. Is that measured with the bulkhead, inside the bulkhead?
I believe so, yes.
It looks to me like it's an awful lot of
building
on that lot.
A lot of the house on the right side is over the bulkhead.
So I didn't include
that in the coverage.
And the deck doesn't count, correct?
Correct. Not in building coverage.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm good.
Now, it is deceiving because a lot of that house is behind the bulkhead. So it's actually over water, not over upland.
Understood.
So what is the number for the building cover? What is the building coverage?
47%.
I mean, the actual. Do the math.
I don't know what the square foot is.
Including the area underwater?
No. Upland portion.
Hold on 1 second. I can give you that.
Johnny is 47% building code.
Well, I just want to make
the actual the square footage.
Oh, okay.
I mean, sheet A3 says first floor is 1658. But that includes a portion over the water.
Right.
Okay.
So 47, that's about right.
What are the numbers? To get to 47%, what's the calculation?
So the square footage is 1,378 square feet, and I double checked my math, and that is 46.9%.
Okay, I'm good with that. Thank you.
Okay,
I have one other comment. The and one more to Roger. The four spaces is based on RSIS for a 6-bedroom house.
Yes.
Just one last thing, and it's really just a cleanup issue. Tom, on the right side of the lot, you have a tag that says existing bulkhead line bashed. I think you mean dashed. Unless you bashed it to take it down.
the plan was developed, the bulkhead had not been constructed yet when we first started the plan, and there was basically the remains of a bulkhead. It was it's an interesting choice of words. The dress been used there for bashed. I'm not sure that's a technical term, but
So you meant to put bashed in there.
That was the intent. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got you. I like that.
It was a very term. Very poor condition.
We've coined a new term for a deteriorated bashed bulkhead.
I'm not sure that's a technical term, but
I like it.
Actually, if you look at the chart, it shows the existing bulkhead floor as being. It doesn't show up on the variance plan, but it shows on the permit plan.
Right. Right. I just thought that's funny.
Okay.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Are you complete now, Mr. Abbott?
I hope so.
Do you have anything more?
I do not.
Okay. You have nothing more to add?
Nope.
Roger, do you have any other questions or any other members of the board have any questions before we open up to the public?
Are we still at the 24-foot curb cut? Or
yes.
Can that be reduced?
Well, here's the issue with that. If you go to 218, they would still have 6 foot in the middle, which serves nobody any good. You could probably reduce it a couple feet without any harm, but I don't see the practicality in leaving like a hump in the middle.
Now, humps in the middle just create more problems than they're worth.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't think you can make that any more narrow because I'm looking at that's the width of the two-car garage. You don't want to make it makes it more difficult to get the cars in and out on a narrow one-way street.
On a narrow street, it's hard to turn in and out.
Now, is that considering the width of the apron, or is the width of the apron wider than that?
That's
it says 24 feet right at the curb line, so I'm going to say that's the width of the apron.
That's the width. That's the total width, including the apron. So it's about 20, 21, 22 feet, and then the apron spreads out.
Right.
Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So the maximum overall, including the apron, is 24 feet.
Tom Dace, is that correct? Double check it.
I have the benefit of sitting at my computer.
We believe that's correct, Mr. Chair. It makes sense.
Okay. So then that's that detail should be presented that way on your drawings.
Is that right, Tom, or you didn't have time to figure it out?
Yeah, no, the way we're showing it, the width of the driveway is 24 feet, but I think we can probably reduce that so that the overall curb cut would be 24 feet.
Okay, well then so the application doesn't change. The overall curb cut is 24 feet, including the aprons, overall, maximum.
Yeah, I think that was the intent, yep.
Okay. So that's just the definition and a cleanup on this particular here. So,
good with that.
Okay. At this time, if there's nothing further, we're going to open it up to the public. Can we bring our first
public, the public? Anybody from the public who wishes to speak or question on this application, please use either the chat function or the under reactions, the raise hand function, and I will recognize you.
Anybody on the phones too, Jim?
Yeah, anybody on the phones too?
Yeah, just the one person that's on a phone. Now, the person on the phone named James Abbott, do you have any questions or comments? I'm unable to unmute you.
Who was that guy? Who's on that phone?
It says James Abbott.
I think I know him.
I was going to say that you do.
I saw a thumbs up on Sally Luasis. I don't know what that means. A thumbs up went on her thing, and then it disappeared.
I think she wants to make a comment.
Yeah, she says, I have some questions. It says on the side.
There you go.
Good.
Okay, Sally?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you very lightly. You can speak up a little.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Sally?
Yes.
You can.
Okay, we can hear you, Sally. Okay. First of all, our solicitor is going to swear you in, and then you can make your comments, please.
Okay.
Leo, please swear us for Sally in, please.
Yes, can you please state your name and address, please?
Sally Luasis, 231 North Surrey Avenue, Ventnor.
And Ms. Luasis, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So just a couple of questions, and I think you all have discussed these, but I want to get into living on the street a little bit of the reality. So the parking situation is a significant concern, and a six-bedroom house with two spots for which there is no driveway effectively has shown to be a problem. If you look at the house at the end of Monmouth on Surrey, the large stucco house, they have a similar drive situation, and we end up with large SUVs partially parked in that driveway, consistently blocking the street. And I think for a six-bedroom house, in the beginning it was talking about a hardship variance, it's a 5,600 square foot home, so I'm struggling on the hardship related to a 5,600 square foot home. Just saying. That's what I see on the, what I picked up said, what's the total square footage, the living square footage of the home? Is it not 5,600? Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think you are wrong. Tom, can you answer that? If you look at the architectural plans, he gives the square footage for each floor. I believe it's at a little bit more than 3,400. Take a look, though. There, Tom?
Check with Roger.
Check with Roger.
Okay. Well, even 3,400 square foot, I'm just struggling. Six bedrooms. We're already, you know, we're already in a jam on the street because it's so narrow. And you've got, you know, houses being developed, which is awesome. But we need parking. And, you know, if you set this up the way it is, trust me, the people in that house will park on the street. They will not park in the garage. That's what we constantly see. So I'm just very concerned, only two spots, and I'm looking at the house, and I'm not an architect, but the other side of the house on the bottom floor is all storage. So I'm wondering why that was all storage, especially since the gentleman from Ponzio said that there's a flooding problem. So that area is going to be, is that storage area going to be flooded all the time? But if you look
Tom, you want to answer that, or you want me to answer it? Tom, you answer that.
Well, I would say, I mean, the slab elevation of the garage is supposed to be 5, so there certainly will be conditions where that ground level is flooded. I mean, it's just the nature of development on the water that you need to be mindful of how you store things and what you store there. You know, again, it can't be living space under FEMA and New Jersey flood hazard. It can't be finished space, anything below the base flood, so it's how you use that space. You can get creative with it, but it's unfinished space that is only usable for storage.
Why couldn't it be garage space? I mean, there's a big difference between the requirement of 4 parking spots and only having 2 on a 6-bedroom house.
Mr. Chairman, it's Raj. I want to just interject one thing. Yeah. The parking space requirement is actually 3 spaces, not 4.
For 5 spaces, so still 3.
It rounds down, doesn't it?
Yes. 3.5, you're rounding down the floor.
And it rounds down.
I just want to, on behalf of the neighborhood, just say it's going to be difficult. Because guaranteed the cars will not be parked in the garage, and there's going to be a problem because there won't be street parking. So that's a concern that I have.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, Mrs. Lance, I have a concern about that number of bedrooms as well. There's also several rooms on this floor plan that I'm not quite sure what they are. A salon, I'm not sure what a salon is. Secondly, there's a gun room. I don't know what the need of a gun room is at a beach house, but
I saw the same things, Lance, and I wondered about them myself.
One of the things I have, 6 bedrooms is a lot to have just 2 parking spaces. So, and
that's
the
why
fact
I raised
that, the fact that there's, you know, no parking in front of these garages these garages are going to end up becoming storage areas and they won't park there. So what I might suggest is instead of making these garages, make them carports so they're open. No garage door. They can have sidewalls and a back wall. But putting that garage door on there, to me, is going to limit the amount of times that the residents are going to park there.
I just want to make a notation here as well, since we're talking about it. It looks like the whole right side of the house is storage. The neighbor who's calling in, she mentioned, you know, why can't that storage be converted to other space, garage space? And then if you look behind it, there's another large area designated for storage. So we have all the storage space and nowhere to put cars.
Okay.
Lance and Lorraine, this is why I brought the parking issue up to begin with.
It's a concern, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know the neighborhood, and we had approved, I think, at Monmouth and Surrey, right on the corner, a 2 or 3 unit condo there a couple years ago, and they did use open parking underneath. It was raised up on pile.
Yes.
And they did open parking there underneath everything. And we actually took one parking place and actually made them put storage in, if I remember correctly, right. Or limited storage area. So my concern in here is parking. And I think Sally brought up a good point because we've seen it on some properties on Harvard Avenue and all up on Hart Lane. That they split the garages on edges ends of the house, and we could pick up. We have two, as I say, we have two options. Is if we have the open land on the side, and yeah. We have now this area on the left side, and the right side we can increase parking. But again, you're in that thing. This wisdom of are you losing a parking losing a street spot a street spot, and but Lance, I like your idea. I think your idea is very, very, it forces everybody to do what they're supposed to do. Because it's a problem. Most garages.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm looking at the larger garage and I see the HVAC units there. You know, might have to relocate right. That. Many of the mechanicals can be moved over into that storage area. But I just think if you put a garage door on there, like anybody else, they're not going to open that door and pull in there. They're going to park in the
streets. Becomes a basement for all intents and purposes, yeah. Or a storage area. We know that. But thank you for bringing that up. And I think there's two other options in here of the right side of the house and the left side of the house for parking places. And Roger, are we talking about 3 places or 4 places here? Roger McLaren.
Three spaces.
Is the requirement 3 spaces or 4?
It was 3.5 and you round down, so it's 3 spaces.
So originally, that's 4. Right. That is the proper calculation to my knowledge.
Yeah, 0.5 for every bedroom right. Over 5 as per ordinance.
Right. Okay. That's the state.
That's ordinance.
I just want to inject this point. To Lance's point, because I noticed it on the drawings as well, the salon and the gun room are these rooms that could be converted into sleeping areas, which just compiles the problem.
Well,
parking and bedroom.
Well, let's just deal with the parking right now. What we have a requirement for first.
It makes this
a problem. This does deal with the parking because yeah. if it's 2 more bedrooms.
Right.
That's, you know, I'd like to know what a salon is. I mean, I know what a gun room is.
Let me look at the architecturals. Does the room have they have closets and so on? Because there's definitions of going into closets and so on that forms a bedroom. And there's limited sizes. The gun room is 12 3 by 8 feet. So that may qualify as a room and as a bedroom, but there's no closet in it. And the salon is certainly big enough to accommodate a bedroom as well. That's 10 by 11 and change. So I'm going to go back to my original point, is that I think there's availability of here of at least four spots on this lot.
How so, Mr. Chairman?
Well, if you took the right side of the house and one spot on the left, but then you're going to wipe out all the street parking. And that's the wisdom that we were going to talk about, and we haven't talked about yet.
I think that's actually more detrimental with regard to the parking. You have a 75-foot wide lot, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
You have a 75-foot wide lot. You basically have three on-street parking spaces deserved, not only for this house, but for the benefit of the entire neighborhood. If we start making wider curb cuts or another parking space, you're taking it away. Now, Joe McGinty's on the line here. Here's the deal. He's got three adult children. And if they come down, they have a place to stay there. He's not renting out rooms. And the exercise of counting every space as a bedroom, that's not the intent here. This is a very substantial property. It spans, when it's all said and done, it's going to be about $1.5 million. So it's not like it's a rooming house or a rental.
We understand that, Scott.
Okay.
So it never was the intention of any other way. I know he's going to do a class act.
Yeah, it is going to be first rate. So I talked to Joe while you deliberated, and he said, look, Scott, I intend to park my car in a garage. So, whatever you want to do here, Mr. Chairman. We'd like to get the approval to build Invest in Ventnor.
Well, we'd like to have you build also, but we just want to work out the details.
Okay.
In there. I think that's the main thing. So, we just see if everything can get worked out.
All right.
Sally, are you still there?
Yes.
Sally?
Yes.
The board's talking about wisdom here, and thank you for coming in and participating with us. It's very much appreciated, by the way. There's this wisdom of, well, do we put parking, off-street parking in, or do we and take a spot off the street, or leave the spot on the street and don't put the off-street parking in?
Yeah, and I follow with you totally, and I think my point is, the experience thus far with a house down the street is that they never use the garage, and there isn't enough driveway to park in for everybody parked on the street. And, the reality of the world today is it's going to be a beautiful home, I agree, but there's people who are going to come here, and it's going to be a lot of cars. So they put those cars in garages and use what's left on the street, it's going to be a problem for everybody else. And I'm not the neighbor right there. I'm up the street. But with the house a couple doors down from them is Airbnb. It's a big home. It's Airbnb. And there are tons of SUVs every weekend. And it's very difficult.
Right.
Now, this is not what Mr. is going to do. But I'm just saying, you have a big house. You end up with adults. You end up with a lot of cars.
Can I ask you directly a question? Is would you rather see the loss of a parking place on the street, an addition of a garage in the house,
I think I'd rather have
the parking place?
Yeah, I agree with the wisdom. I'd rather have the street parking. My point here that I think there's other room on the other side of the house, and what I'm wondering is, can you get a driveway out of this, or as I think you mentioned earlier, Mr. Cook, can you have the parking under the house? Because the houses that do that, they are utilizing their parking space.
We've maxed out the room in the house.
They're absolutely.
Sally, that's been maxed out. And if we put the parking on the right side of the house, on the left side with its vacant land, we're going to take away some street parking again.
Yeah, I understand. But my point was, if this house is going to flood, whenever there's a title issue, I don't know how.
Right.
I live there. It's no fun pumping out your garages. But that's.
Well, they'll be in the car and they'll be on high ground. They won't be there.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we're not going to get into pumping out garages. Yeah. They can build them so that they.
Parking is better than the house parking. I just wanted to be realistic on where parking would happen. And
the only other option
for that big a house.
Sally, the only other space for parking is on the left side of the house where there's vacant ground, 12 feet of vacant ground. Right. And we would have to take and increase the curb cut and take more street parking.
Yep.
And that's they're the only options we have.
Yeah, no, so it's up to you, Ford. You have the wisdom on this.
Right. So we're trying to ferret it all. And I have to thank you for participating, by the way.
Thank you.
You've been very helpful. So that's the case. Okay. Do we have anybody else in the public who wishes to speak?
Yeah, there's two people. Mr. Thomas Lucas,
bring him up, please.
First one.
Okay, bring
Lucas,
him up, please.
Do you want to unmute yourself?
Hey, good evening, everyone.
Okay, Mr. Lucas, your name and address for the record, please.
Thomas Lucas, 128 North Surrey.
And can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
So I just want to echo what the last speaker, her concerns were with the parking. However, I would also like to add that these two rooms, the salon and the gun room, which could easily be converted to bedrooms, now turns a six-bedroom house to an eight-bedroom house. And then my concern with the gun room is, I'm all for, rightful gun owners and having a gun to protect your home, but to have an entire room dedicated.
You're entitled to your opinion, but that's not part of the application here.
Okay, so but
you're entitled to your opinion, I'm not getting into the person's rights.
Okay, so are there any specific safety measures or that need to be put in place to have an entire room labeled as gun room in an architectural drawing?
You can have one piece in there. It can be a gun room.
Okay. All right. So we'll
It's up to the rights of somebody, and that's beyond the purview of our board.
Yeah, no, curious as, I don't sit on the board, so I don't know what the governance laws are within.
Right.
I'd like to know what's in the gun room.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what's in the gun room. I've been doing this for 30 plus years. I've never seen a plan marked gun room. I'd like to know what the purpose of it is.
Well, we have the applicant here.
The purpose is to keep the gun.
Mr. Hinton can answer that right now.
The purpose is to keep a firearm or paraphernalia away from kids and keep it locked up in a separate room. I'm a professional shooter, and I'm also retired law enforcement. And I own a shooting range in Bristol, Pennsylvania, so... guns are part of my life, and we duck hunt on the bay there. You can see my dog in the background. She's ready to go. And the salon is just a formal living room. It'll be used to divorce the, if kids come over and they want to be on the computer or watch TV, that's the forbidden room. I guess some people call it the formal living room,
Okay. Thank you for that explanation.
Thank you, Mr. McGinty, and thank you for serving as a police officer as well.
Yeah. Thanks for the explanation. Just moving on to what my concern is, in addition to Sally's concerns with the ample space for parking with the six-bedroom house, is, if I have a two-bedroom house at home. I'm a secondary house owner here in Ventnor, which this house is going to be built directly across the street from my house. My concerns is how narrow the road is with, having additional parking spaces taken up in the street during the busy times of the summer with not enough driveway space to fit two cars. So there's a lot of foot traffic. There's a lot of children that are up and down the street. So my concern is safety for the pedestrians that need to walk out into the street to go around the cars. Because like I said, I have a two-car garage at home. I never park my cars in them.
Okay, well, okay. I mean, that's why the garages are there, so I can park my cars in the garage. And I have a house over on Dudley, and I have a one-car garage and a space in front of it, and I park in front of there because the garage, I can't get the hood of my car underneath the house. If it had a place where I could actually park my car, the car would be in the garage. So, I mean, that's why the garages were there as opposed to just a carport with storage on the side. It's a garage. I have ample storage on the side and underneath the back of the deck. I don't need the storage space. I need the garage space. And that would guarantee me two parking spaces. My daughter also lives in Suffolk, at the end of Suffolk, and any overflow parking that they would go over there and park.
Mr. Rigetti, yeah, thank you. So, you know, I have seen you parked your truck on the lot here. Is that what would be parked in the driveway? Because it's a pretty large commercial truck for your HVAC company.
No, that was my son's truck. We were doing work on the bulkhead. That won't be parked there. That's not my truck.
May I interrupt, Mr. McGinty? You're saying, yeah, for the record that you're going to use the garages for parking, and cars will be in that garage, and no storage will be used other than they'll impede parking.
Yeah, that's my intent, to use the garages for parking.
Well, that's we're going to go by that. That's going to be the use that's going to be for the evening here. So other than the garages must be used for parking.
Yeah.
And is that agreeable to you? And Mr. Yeah. Abbott?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Lance? That's in the record.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. But how do you enforce that? So,
well,
I still have a concern about
send
that.
A cop down there and you give them a ticket if they're parking across the sidewalk.
Well, that's not the point. It wouldn't be the sidewalk. If he parks on the street, you can't give him a ticket because he's allowed to park there. But if he's not using the garage like he says he's going to, that becomes a problem.
Can't mandate that, can you? I mean,
no.
Let me put it this way. If the garage door has glass in it, it can look right through the glass. The garage door is still tight. You can't do it.
You're not going to be able to enforce that.
I understand that. But that's the total. That's what it comes down to. So the board's going to have to make a decision here on this, and how we're going to do it. So in any event, let's get our third caller in here. Mr. Lucas, are you finished? Do you have
any more? Yeah, I am. Thank you. Thanks for everyone's time.
Okay. I want to make sure that you had everything that you needed to say done before I didn't want to cut you off.
No, I voiced my concern with the parking. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you for participating tonight. It's appreciated greatly.
Okay, a gentleman named Joe wanted to speak. Joe, do you want to unmute yourself?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Joe, first and last name and address, please.
It's Joe O'Donnell, 132 North Surrey Avenue.
And Mr. O'Donnell, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
I basically have the same problem. Tom lives on the one side across from where the existing footprint was of the house. I live directly across the street from where the upland portion of the house is going to be, as well as the driveways. Same thing. The street is insanely tight. It's packed now, like you said, with the Airbnb at the dead end of Monmouth. The Pagano compound that has not yet been built has no off-street parking, so that's going to make it even worse than it is now, and there's really nowhere to park. I'm just finding it hard to understand why they need to go on to build so far onto the lot where there was never a dwelling. If they want that much off-street parking, they can make basically a gigantic parking lot out of the second lot that they own to build on there and try to squeeze cars in there. It just makes no sense. And not to mention that their driveway apron is actually going to basically run straight into the driveway apron of 139. So there's going to be no parking from the corner of Monmouth. You know, it's going to take a quarter of the block away, basically.
Okay, let's do one quick count. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
No, that's all. That's really it.
Okay. All right. Are you complete, sir?
Yeah. I mean, if that's the hardship, I mean, everything's a hardship.
Please address the board for what you would like to say, and I don't want to cut you short at all. So if you have anything further else to say, please do.
No, that's it.
Okay. And thank you for participating this evening. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a comment, Mr. Chairman, if I can. Scott Abbott here.
Okay.
Let me point out to the board and to the public. Mr. McGinty purchased two separate properties. He purchased the house that was over the water. That was a separate house, a separate property. He then purchased the additional property. That one was from Pagano. He purchased the second property from a different owner, Osborne. That was 50 foot wide. Conceivably, you would have had two houses built there. And in all probability, you'd have to allow them to do it. One would be replacing a house that was there that instead McGinty tore down. And the second would have been on a 50 foot wide lot. You'd be hard pressed not to allow a second lot. And with the driveways and bedrooms that two houses would bring. Instead, McGinty spends, I don't know, Joe, what'd you spend, about $500,000 or more buying the two properties to combine them so that it's one residence rather than two. Now, regarding the on-street parking for this now one residence instead of two, we've got about 36 feet on the right side before you get to the driveway cut. That's basically two parking spaces on street. Then to the left side, I'm measuring it 15 to 16 feet. So essentially, there's a third parking space in front of his property that not only will he have the ability to use, but so will the neighborhood. Because number one, there won't be two houses. And number two, it's Joe's house, second home, as a place where his kids, he's labeled, his architect labeled rooms, so that if a kid wants to have a place out the shore, they come, they've got their clothes already there, whatever they want to do. Guy's going to build, it's a magnificent structure. The point I'm trying to make to you is, we don't want to add a different curb cut, because that takes away neighborhood parking. We're shy one space. There were three spaces in front of the house on the street, and two spaces. Joe's an old timer. He wants to put his car in a garage. He's got two car space there. Yeah, he's going to probably use some storage in the back there. The difference is not to have an open space that people can come in. He does have a gun room, so there's an issue of security. I might add his son's a national champion in handgun shooting multiple times. So, and Joe is a very knowledgeable guy and gunsmith. So, called it a gun room. He's called it, his architect called it a salon. The intent here is not to have six bedrooms, five bedrooms, nor is it an air hub or a rooming house. Not the intent at all. So with that, I'd ask for the variance. I think it's one space we're shy. We maintain three on-street parking spaces, which is more beneficial to the entire neighborhood. And we don't have two houses there. We got one. And yes, we're going to combine the lots so that we can get our building permit. That was always the intent. Two separate properties. So with that, we've requested the variance relief. We respectfully ask that you grant us the variances.
There was never a house on that lot because it's not big enough to build a house on the lot, number one. Number
two. What's not? Who says that? The 50-foot wide wasn't big enough to build a house? Of course it was.
No, not with off-street parking, it's not, number one. And number two, I don't like how you keep referring to the price of the house as if, because this is starting
with
the third thing I've been to. No, listen, I'm telling you something. This is the third building I've been to, and it all comes down to money. So I'm having a real hard time understanding how, you know, it's like paying for special treatment. That's what a variance should be called. Because that's what's coming down to.
What are you talking about? That's crazy.
That's the second time, distinguished Mr. Abbott, that you've said you've brought up the price of the home as if this would be any different.
Yeah, you're getting rid of
someone
slums.
Building 150.
Building it tore down.
Wait, gentlemen, we're talking about the actual facts of the matter here. We're not going to get into a squabble over verbiage and things and so on. Granted, it's noted that you take offense to what was said, and we're going to move on. But we're not going to get into a battle here.
Okay, but he can talk about how his son was a national shooting champion. That was relevant, right?
Not my son. His son. Yes, about the gun.
Yeah, no, you said it.
Wait.
All right, enough of you. I'm not listening to your nonsense.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, now, Esquire. I have one last thing in here. Mr. Days.
Yes.
Did you calculate? I believe the house on lot 13 is about 4 to 5 feet from the property line, from my estimation of it. And you have 12 feet according to your site plan between the two. When you put the driveway in, how many feet between the two driveways is there, and is there enough room for a parking place?
But
if I can comment on that before Tom gets in, I'm looking at the aerial and I drove by the site and I remember that driveway for lot 13 comes right up to their property line. I don't think there's space to park a car on the street between the proposed new driveway and that driveway for lot 13.
Right, and that so my point is that space in the 12 feet would give them is unusable. And would give them the third parking place, and it's not stealing a parking place from the street.
That's
because there's no parking place available. Pardon me?
That's what I was thinking as well.
So
saying put a driveway there?
Yeah, widen your driveway by another 10 feet and put a parking space for that landscape. Sorry, Lorraine. The HVAC cooling system is before you get to the chimney.
There's already a curb there now.
And there's not enough room to put a parking place there now with the way the plan is drawn. So you're not losing a parking place. The parking place is already shot. It's gone.
It would make it a much wider.
The vast majority of cars can park there. If that's what you want, I'm sure we would agree to.
Right, but if you park a vehicle there, you never get the cars out of the driveway for lot 13.
There are, because right. I measured on the plan, it's 21 feet from the edge of our proposed driveway and the house. And looking at the Google Street View, the neighboring driveway comes about to the edge of the house. So I have 20.99 feet of open curb for a parking space there.
So, right, I mean, and it's supposed to be, and am I correct that there's supposed to be 3 feet on each side of the driveway blocked off for articulation under New Jersey DOD.
Yeah, there is the driveway does stop about a foot past where that house on lot 13 is, looking at the Google Street Map. What I saw was a curb cut on lot, right on that property line for lot, 12?
Yeah, there's an existing curb cut.
Yeah, so that would have to go away. I mean, yeah, you could keep an on-street space. So I think that's what the board has to weigh. You know, do we want an on-street space that's open to everyone, or do we want an off-street space that provides one more space and actually eliminates a variance on the property?
We learned something from Portland Avenue in here, in the narrow streets in here, that there needs to be articulation. And I'm under the logic you can bear it out, but I believe it's already marked on certain parking spaces in the city that there's a 3 foot space, the requirement on each side of the driveway to begin your parking place.
Right, those little triangles we put on.
On each side, so it's 20. So that. That space between the driveways is actually, if it's exactly 21 feet, is only 15 feet allowable for use.
Okay. Right. So we have, that's our dilemma.
And if it's only allowable for use for that, and then we have three people who are saying that the street is narrow and that there's a problem with vehicles turning and so on. So if the cars are parked very, very close to the driveways, then the people that are using the driveways can't get out.
Scott, what are your thoughts on that? Mr. Abbott, sorry.
And Mr. McLaren, I want your thoughts too.
I would add the one more off-street parking space. I think that benefit, you know, that's going to be a tight parking space there. If they could reduce the width of the other one, you know, a little bit and add the second one there on the side of the house, not needing a variance for the third parking space.
They're
still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, Michael.
It's a fight.
Can you put that in the oven for a bit?
Real sure.
I mean, you're going to have a 36-foot wide curb cut.
Yep. That's the what we got away.
Right. And you're not really losing an off-street parking space.
But 36 feet wide is, we require 38 feet for two parking places.
On street, it's 36 feet.
On street, it's more like 40. 38, I'd say.
So, and you're probably off, take 3 feet off that, and you're probably close to 35 and for the articulation for lot 13.
Any other board members have any thoughts on it? I mean, I don't want to hog this conversation. I want to hear what the rest of the guys think.
It's a lot coverage.
I'm thinking, as much as I don't like to give out variances when they're not necessary, by making an extra curb cut, you're eliminating people who normally park on the street in the neighborhood. You're not allowing them to park because you have a driveway. By having less curb cuts, even though that puts cars on the street, at least the neighbors have an opportunity to park there.
But I don't know that they can fit a car between these two driveways. That's what we're discussing.
So the
driveway
they're
putting in and the driveway on lot 13, there's very little room to fit two cars there. Or one car there, excuse me.
So Lance, you're saying by extending the curb cut, you're not losing an off-street parking spot because there's not enough space between the two right now.
That's I'm suggesting that. I don't have any measurements that are finite.
It'll be very, very tight.
Which unfortunately makes
I walked a lot today, and I'm saying it's going to be not very practical to put to park a car there with the curb cuts the way they're going to go in.
Yeah.
Didn't the engineer say there was 20 feet?
Right, but you lose 3 feet, Tim, if you look at, and it's happened, and I'm involved in it because it's through Public Works, the townhomes that were built on Nashville, the driveway that comes out onto Nashville Avenue, cars are parking right up to the right. Edge of that parking curb cut. The driveway curb cut.
Right.
When they do that, the cars can't get right. out of that driveway to go down the proper direction on Nashville Avenue. You need that 3-foot little triangle that are painted on a lot of the driveways throughout the city that would take up 3 feet on at least one side. So that cuts that space down to from 21 to 18 feet.
Oh, I mean, if that's true, then even having if the HVAC.
HVAC is elevated.
You there?
That can be worked with. The parking is the key issue.
Right.
And that 3 feet is a DOT requirement.
If that's the case, if that literally is not a and HVAC.
So,
the other practical thing about parking in Ventnor is that people do use their curb cuts for the resident themselves to use as on-street parking. So that would, in effect, give them, the resident, it would give them five places of parking.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that happens a lot on Harvard Avenue.
It happens a lot on our street.
It does.
And
I'm guilty of that.
And the other things that were mentioned, I just have to circle back, is really not part of this decision. The Surrey Avenue has always been a narrow street. I travel it almost every day, and it's always crowded. But I will take exception that parking in the on the apron and blocking the sidewalk needs to be can't be allowed in this because it's just not fair to the pedestrians. But every other house is this close to the street on that block, and all those other residents that are speaking also have the ability to use their own curb cuts as parking. It's just the nature of living on a right.
But if the curb cuts are only 10 feet, then they can't use them.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's
my own position is here is I'm going to take a position is that I think that the space on the 12 foot area open should be used because that parking is not going to work in there for somebody else to park in that spot if with the all the markings and lot 13.
Chairman, can we hear from the applicant on that suggestion?
We have to hear from them. Yes. Mr. Abbott, you're up.
He's muted.
Mr. Abbott, you're muted.
Hear me?
Good? Now we can.
Okay.
Very low.
I talked it over with my client and the engineer. It looks like the neighbor next door has a very wide driveway, maybe the whole width of his, probably a 25-foot wide lot, which I don't know how that happened. It doesn't look like there's a parking space. It just looks like there's a curb cut. So our preference, it would be better for the neighborhood, I think, to leave that on-street parking because there's enough there. But we're very willing to put either way, we can put the parking on the side of the house and create that third space. Willing to do it. But, you know, when I look at it, I would say if you would give us the relief, we'll go with the third space. But if it's feasible to create enough there for on-street parking, that we would alter it and do that. That driveway cut next door, not sure where that's going to. Doesn't look like it's a parking space in front of it. Certainly not deep enough.
There's a garage there.
There is, but not there right is. To the property line. It looks like it's about 5 foot away, doesn't it?
No, if you look at the Google street map, I'm looking at it. There's a garage on that right dead. It's a very narrow home.
I know sure. It is. In fact, I did that variance many years ago. But so all right, we'll agree to put the driveway in there and have the parking on the side of the house as well. That'll give you the three spaces.
I think that eliminates the parking variance, which I think will help some of the neighbors.
Yeah. Eliminates a parking variance.
It will create a bigger impervious coverage variance, but to me that's justifiable because the lot's undersized because of the bulkhead.
I'll tell you what we'll do, Commissioner. We'll go with that, and we'll look at it. And if there's any way to create a legal space, you know, if we can work that out with the neighbor, we'll create the on-street parking space if possible. We'll talk to them.
I think that'd be amenable to that. If that can happen, I think that's a win-win.
The remaining
twin,
I forget his name.
I can't hear you, John or Scott.
Tom, yeah. Yep. We can put that in. Or Joe, you're good with that. Joe McGinty, you're good with it?
Yeah, I'm good with that. But what he mentioned was impermeable. How about if I put stone in there to allow the permeation?
Well, why don't we just go with ribbons and be with ribbons in there? And not put the whole thing in concrete.
Yeah, something like that. I mean,
yeah, I think that might be
that
nice.
Would be a better way. Cutting the cover down.
I don't want to cover the land up.
And allows, and it doesn't chew the land up. He's got more grass area, and it looks a lot better. And it's more environmental.
We'll do that if that's what you feel best. We can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's an alternative that works very well.
Yes, it would give us a little bit of green over there, some landscaping over there instead of solid color.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Right. We'll do that.
That's okay.
All right. We're good for it.
Board members. Are any comments or feelings on this was just talked about? Or is it acceptable or not acceptable or?
We'll find out.
Are they up? They're still there, aren't they?
Hello? Anybody?
Yep. With all that was discussed, what did we finally come up with? That there's going to be a third driveway
to
the side? Third driveway landscape strip. Got it.
Yes.
To me, it won't be a full driveway. It'll be have concrete ribbons to park for the wheel to run on, and that would be it.
Okay.
So, well, we have to figure that take this application on its own merit. But that area is going through major redevelopment along the waterfront with the Paganos. The neighbors all mentioned it, and it's just going to be squeezed and squeezed and squeezed in the future. So, I mean, what do we have to kind of plan for something like that? But I mean, I don't know how you do it because, you know, we're developing.
Right. We're playing Solomon here is what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a perfect example.
If you think something's being overdeveloped, we deny the application and let them refigure it. I mean, you know, that's what our job is too.
Yeah, but we're doing some of that too.
Yeah, I don't really think it matters so much about the bedrooms because the kids are all going to come. You know, it's just a sure house on the bay. You're going to have guests. You're going to have family members. Wendy can tell you.
Mr. McGinty has a lot of family here, and they're going to spread out. So, but we can't depend on that. So we can depend on three parking places meeting the thing. And right. I just don't think that extra parking that the street parking is going to work effectively. So in doing so, he gets almost five spaces out of it, and. There were some streets, there were at some point some parking places on the street being used by the other house. That has to be factored in. So we're maybe in a loss of one space here. So with that, I think my own opinion is that that's where we should go and guarantee the parking.
Well, it gives control. As long as the applicant does his best at all times to maximize that, you know, squeeze as hard as you can and don't move cars around.
That's exactly the case. So, all right.
My concern is that there is still the issue of the two rooms, the salon and the gun room can be converted into bedrooms in time, which means that will induce more cars. So we're just talking about an additional driveway. But if you're going to have a lot of bedrooms there, potentially, that means that there'll be a lot more people coming, which means a lot more cars. That's going to create a problem. So how do we handle that?
The other side of the coin is that we have a plan before us, which is being asked for approval. We're not approving some other issue which is not before us.
Right.
So we can only address the plan that's here before us today.
And right. Maybe the structure is too big for the site. That could be the issue also. It's not that we don't want to want the development there, but maybe it needs to be slightly downsized.
An occupant or a person can have any types of rooms they want in the house and call them what they want and use them how they wish. It is not the board's purview to tell them how to live and dwell in their house. That's their private property, and that's their constitutional right.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you 100%.
So guys, we're getting way into the weeds here. So let me
look at something.
Jay, we're getting way off base here. So the maximum number of parking spaces for under RSIS for a 5-bedroom house, it doesn't go beyond that, is 3 spaces. That's the maximum that is required under the residential site improvement standards.
Right.
So they're going to provide that with this. If they had 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 bedrooms, there's no more required under the RSIS requirements. So talking about these other bedrooms, yes, it may generate more people. There's nothing under the law that requires us to make them provide more than 3 parking spaces on this lot. We need to move on. Don't support the application. Vote no.
And that's it. So we're moving on. But that's the situation with the parking. That's how it's calculated, and that is it. That's the law. Now, is there anything? Do we have anybody else in the public, or are we finished with the public?
Anybody else from the public who wishes to speak? I'm not seeing anybody.
Okay, the public portion of this application is now closed. And I thank all those who participated. At this time, Mr. Abbott, do you have anything further you wish to add?
No, sir. The application's amended to allow us to build the 3rd parking space on site with a curb cut. We're agreeable to that.
Okay.
We'll use the grass strip medium on it.
Okay, that's fine. Mr. McLaren, do you have any other further items that you have to deal with regarding this application?
I just ran some numbers. So the lot coverage based on 2 3-foot wide ribbon strips of concrete, I allow for 20 feet, gives a lot coverage of 82.6%, which reduces the landscape coverage to 17.4%. And we eliminate the parking space variance by providing that 3rd space. So that's the only amendments, and I think we're okay with that.
Okay. That's it. Mr. Days, you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, at this point in time, I believe we are ready. Any board members have any questions or further discussion with our professionals or the applicant? Okay, at this time, we'd like to have Mr. Leo, if you could phrase a motion in the affirmative, as all motions are done, for a vote, to prepare for a vote on this application.
Yes, I will. And Scott, you're going to consolidate the lots, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So someone needs to make a motion for C variance relief for the following variances, which I'll summarize. Lot depth of 29.27 feet where 62.5 feet is required. Front yard setback to the building of 5 feet where 12 feet is required. Rear yard setback to the building of 0 feet where 12 feet is required. Rear yard setback to the decks on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd levels of 0 feet where 6 feet is required. A variance for the rear yard deck heights on the 2nd and 3rd levels, because we don't allow them above the 1st level, and they're proposed on both the 2nd and 3rd levels. A lot coverage variance of, as Roger indicated, approximately 82.6%. That would factor in the 3-foot wide concrete driveway ribbons that they're going to put in. Of 82.6%, where 75% is the permitted maximum. The parking variance is going to go away because, as a condition of approval, they're going to add a third parking spot on that left side of the property. The landscape coverage variance gets changed, that's going to be 17.4% now approximately, where 25% is required. The shrubs, which we called a variance, 11 are proposed, where 35 are required. Now the curb cut is now going to be about a 36-foot wide curb cut, where 18 feet is the permitted maximum. There's a waiver from the street tree requirement that we heard testimony on. The conditions, I'll summarize, is no parking obviously is going to be permitted in front of the garages because there's no room and you can't block the driveway. The applicant will consolidate the lots. The applicant will comply with any representations it made during the course of the hearing, any other conditions in Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise modified. And then, as we discussed, the applicant will provide for that third parking space, and they'll do so by providing a concrete ribbon driveway on the left-hand side of the property and widening that curb cut on the left-hand side of the property.
Yeah, actually, you got to revise that to you cannot block the public sidewalk. They can block the driveway by parking in front of the driveway.
The sidewalk. Sure, that's what I meant. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Sounds good.
Okay. I'll make the motion to approve.
And we have a second.
I'll second.
Okay. We'll have our board administrator give a call to roll and give a roll call vote, and please state your reasons.
Commissioner Landgraf.
I support the application. I really appreciate Mr. McGinty and your working with us with that third parking space. I think that's going to mean a lot to the residents of this street. The rest of the variances, you're meeting the side yard setbacks. The rest of the variances are forced on you because of the depth of the lot based on that bulkhead. You know, it jogs around all over the place in this area of our town. So I think you're using this lot to its fullest, which I appreciate. You're restricted by that bulkhead and by the DEP. I'm actually pleased you're able to put some of the building back out over the waterway. That's kind of an interesting architectural feature of the property. And I do not see those setbacks to the rear of the property or the front being any different than what's out there, and no negative impact on the neighborhood, and eliminating the parking variance was big for me. So I appreciate that, and I vote yes.
Commissioner Kriebel.
I do also appreciate the amount of back and forth that went into this. I think the key is that there are three places that are effectively five places in the uniqueness of our streets. This block is similar to Monmouth Avenue, where all on the same waterfront area where these houses are restricted. And I think it meets all of the other requirements, albeit unique in that it's two lots. So I support the application. I vote yes.
Tom Halpin.
I like the fact that you are developing this, and also you're going to be able to put a third parking space on the site. So I say yes.
Jay Cook.
I'll vote yes. I think for their wisdom was developed here between working with the community and some of the information they have here versus the information we have on our drawings and board members and the applicant to resolve the issue of parking. And we don't resolve it, we try to improve it, let me put it that way. The next thing is DEP and CAFRA voice certain regulations and so on onto waterfront development, which is pretty much consistent on the street or will be consistent on the street in the future. If you look at the existing setbacks that are going on and on the fronts and so on, the property more or less is following what will be the existing condition. Furthermore, that they're making this FEMA compliant. They've repaired most of all the bulkheads that were just in horrendous shape, putting in new dwellings which add to the financial base of the community. But also they're working within and being congruent with our master plan and Seashore Living and going in. And so the side yards are being being respected. The rear yard is the open water, and traditionally we have, it's not impeding anyone or anybody's character and so on, or space, and even privacy for that matter, and enhances the property. So with that, there's all the pluses, and the negative criteria here are far outweighed by the positive criteria. And there is a hardship here on the narrowness, shallowness, and irregular shape of the land. And that also includes and in part enhances part of the problem and why the variances exist. Plus, there's an elevation problem, and this is an area that is prone to seasonal flooding and or nuisance flooding. So with that, I am voting yes. They're attempting to comply with all these things, and I wish them well.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
I also vote yes. The site obviously has hardship. Most of the variances really are due to the hardship of the lot. It's unfortunate that there is so little flexibility with DEP in allowing more opportunity for anyone developing on the waterfront to be able to do a little bit more. So I understand what they had to deal with. The issue that I had to deal with was the parking, the driveway. That's an issue that will continue as other developments occur along the bay there. And it's an issue that impacts the whole community because we constantly are up against parking issues. And I appreciate the fact that the neighbors bring this up because this is something that we need to address in the future as a board because it's not going to go away. Parking will continue to be an issue. As more and more people come to the shore, and they will certainly, parking will only get more intense. So obviously we have to look at the consequences of every decision we make. But nonetheless, I am very happy that this is going to be an improvement to the neighborhood, and I wish it works out parking-wise. So with that, yes.
Lorraine Salata.
When I first looked at the plans for this, I felt somewhat excited about it because it did look like a beautiful application. And I'm very torn because the more I've heard, I just don't see where this benefits this neighborhood. We have a street here that floods frequently and substantially. And what we've just done is added coverage and taken away areas for water to drain, which makes no sense to me. Parking is a problem. We've got a 36-foot curb cut. I don't see how this helps the neighborhood. I really believe in my heart that this is the wrong house for this location. Lovely as it may be, I can't justify voting for it, so I vote no.
Dan Smith III.
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. We have to look at this and stand on its own. The concerns, the board is very aware of, you know, what's coming in the future with parking issues, but the applicant has the right to develop the property. The three parking spaces, I think, is a real, it swayed me to vote yes for the application because it gives control. People can park anywhere they want. If there's, you know, somebody pulls up something and leaves it there for 10 days, well, there's nothing you can do about it. But I think Mr. McGinty is going to be a good neighbor, and it will work out better with the third parking space. It's a great waterfront development. We're going to get a compliant home here. It's, you know, our economic factor of our master plan will be satisfied. So I have to vote in favor.
Jay, that's it.
That's six, that's seven?
Six, yes.
Okay. We have seven votes, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Abbott. Thank you, Mr. McGinty.
Thank you very much.
All bye-bye. The people and members of the community.
Okay.
We're all right. We're going to go to the next application now. that is of 103 South Newport Avenue.
Mr. Chairman, Wendy Bartlett, I'm going to have to recuse myself from this application.
Okay, Wendy, thank you for noting that. Peter Tosher, are you back on with the board?
Yes, I am back.
Okay. Okay. Do we have the applicant queued up and ready to go?
We are here, Mr. Chairman. This is Bob Baranowski. I'm an attorney with Highland Levin Shapiro in Marlton, representing the applicants, Chris and Virginia Kolovos. I do have Mr. Kolovos on the Zoom call with us. He's on video and he's unmuted. And I also have Mr. Jay Pachtel from Holiday Architects. He's on with us as well.
Okay. And who are you going to have sworn?
Mr. Kolovos and Mr. Pachtel.
Okay. Let's get them sworn now. And Leo?
Okay. The applicant, sure. Mr. Kolovos and Mr. Pachtel, if you can each just state your name and address or business address for the record, I'll swear you in together.
Chris Kolovos, 74 Eastwick Drive, Voorhees, New Jersey, 08043.
Jason Pachtel, 304 Salem Avenue, Belmar, New Jersey.
And can you each raise your right hand? Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Pachtel, could you state what your credentials are, please, and whether you're a planner, an engineer, or and so on, where you practice?
Yes. So my name is Jason Pachtel. I'm a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey. I received my Bachelor of Architecture from Temple University in Philadelphia. I currently work at Holiday Architects in Medford, New Jersey, and have been working there for a little over 11 years, mainly focusing on custom home design and renovation.
Okay, thank you. You are a New Jersey licensed architect, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. We'll let the record reflect that we'll accept his credentials.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
At this time, Mr. Baranowski, we do often have our engineer give a preamble on the application first, and then you kind of just going over a lot of the description, and then you pick up, and then you carry the ball from there.
That's agreeable. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. At this time, Roger, could you go in with your preamble and describe the application itself?
Yes, sir. Thank you, board members, applicant. The application and the report is based on the application of Christos and Virginia Kolovos at 103 South Newport Avenue, Block 27, Lot 6.02 in Ventnor, New Jersey. Engineering and planning report for C variances. This is within the R3 single family zoning district. Preliminary flood zone elevation 10. This is a substantial benefit variance. The materials reviewed on the bottom of page one, including the planning board application, checklist, tax map, plan a survey by Joseph Maxey. And there are two architectural sheets by Holiday Architects, dated February 26, 2020, last revised June 30th, 2020. The project background is as follows. The applicant is proposing to reconstruct new decks in the front of an existing 2.5-story single-family dwelling on the beach block of Newport Avenue across the street from Ventnor Community Building and Library. A third-floor deck is also proposed. The decks proposed require variances as discussed below. The existing first-floor deck reports have been removed to provide off-street parking on the right-hand side of the building. So on page two, I know Mr. Baranowski has received the report and he commented on it. The R3 zoning district is the zoning schedule. There are six variances being sought. The application is deemed complete. The variances are as follows. Front yard setback for the second floor, whereas 8 feet is a required front yard setback or a 4-foot encroachment. to the second floor deck. 12.6 feet exists and 6.2 feet is proposed. Third floor deck setback is 18.7 feet is the required minimum setback to the front door, which is also the existing building envelope. It must be inset into the building setback to the deck, and 4.6 feet is proposed. That's based on section 102-11 and definitions. Side yard setback to the second floor deck on the right-hand side, whereas 5 feet is the proposed or the required minimum side yard setback, 4.7 feet exists and 2.5 feet is proposed. Building coverage, whereas 50% of the building coverage is a maximum permitted, 51% exists and 62.6% is proposed. Third floor deck setback, whereas 12 feet is required minimum side yard setback, it must be inset into the building setback to the deck, and 6.2 feet is proposed. Actually, I'll scratch that fifth variance. That's a typo. Curb cut, whereas two driveway curb cuts with conditions are permitted. The conditions are not being met, so a variance is required for the extra wide curb cut. No waivers have been requested. Again, street trees should be requested. I don't see the point in requiring street trees in the beach block, as we have been pretty forgivable on that. A couple comments. The building coverage includes roof decks and solid decks, and is a reason for the increase in building coverage. The side yard setback for the second floor deck is not being met, requires variances as described previously. A third floor deck does not meet the building setback and location requirements as defined by the third floor decks and requires a variance. Again, you can require a variance for the location of it or the setback. I would just go for the setback if it doesn't meet the side yard setback. That's pretty much it at this time.
Okay. Mr. Baranowski?
I'm here. Thank you. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Are you in agreement with the, you have the same report that was gone over? And you'll be able to address that?
We will address that. I think we want to confirm the front yard setback. I think we have on our zoning chart for the second and third floor decks a proposed front yard setback of 4.6 feet. And I think Mr. McLaren has that in his chart, but I think in the narrative and the description, I think Mr. McLaren referenced 6.2 feet. I just want to be clear. The proposal is 4.6 feet for the front yard setback for the second and third floor decks.
Roger, are you you congruent with that?
4.6 feet is correct.
Okay. We're generally agreeable to Mr. McLaren's letter and recommendations. We would concur that we would seek a waiver from providing street trees due to the reasons stated. There's generally waived on the last block going beachfront. For a similar reason, we would also request a waiver of the grass governor's strip that Mr. McLaren was suggesting we take a look at. Because for similar reasons, there's no other one on that block, so it would be kind of out of place to create one. Otherwise, we concur with all of Mr. McLaren's comments and recommendations.
Okay, please present your application.
I just want to chime in on that last request for the waiver for the grass governorship. At this location, there's a lot of pedestrian traffic due to the library, the community building, and the parking in the middle of the street. I think we can be justified in granting that grass governorship waiver at this location. It's a highly trafficked area, people getting in and out of their cars. I think that makes sense.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. McMahon.
All right, Mr. Baranowski, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, thanks to Mr. McLaren for his review letter. It was very thorough, and we appreciate that. I did have a chance to speak to him about that, and I'm glad we're in agreement on those waiver requests as well. As noted in his letter, our application is a proposal to reconstruct some new decks in the front of the existing residence at 103 South Newport across from the community center. So the proposal would be to remove the existing first floor porch and deck to create an additional parking space underneath and to build new second and third floor decks that would be further extended toward the street than the previous decks. So essentially the house will get a facelift. There will be a re-siding of the front elevation and the side and rear would be repainted to match. So this would have the overall effect of modernizing the house. New decks would have enhanced functionality and views over the previously existing decks. And overall, the whole project would be a visual aesthetic enhancement and visually appealing. So also the second floor deck would be covered by the third floor deck. So we're proposing as part of the application a side yard bump out on the second floor deck for a cooking area. It's cantilevered over the side yard. And that second floor deck has a circular staircase to access the third floor deck. So that's part of the reason we're proposing that side yard bump out for the cooking area. So we increase the usable area of the second floor deck. It would also enhance ventilation for the cooking area and provide that functionality as well. The proposed new decks do trigger the need for the variance relief as described by Mr. McLaren. And as we'll discuss further in further detail through testimony and present further justifications for the variance request. And just to add something further to that, I would say in further support of that relief, I would note your master plan reexamination report from 2016 encourages rehabilitation with modern construction that's compatible with both the old and new development, and that promotes a desirable visual environment. So we submit the proposed renovation would satisfy those purposes, and we're going to be seeking your approval accordingly. So I'd like to have Mr. Kolovos and Mr. Patchell discuss that in further detail. So they've been sworn in, and I'd like to first start with Mr. Kolovos, please. So, Chris, if you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so just to kick things off, if you could please introduce yourself to the board.
So my name is Chris Kolovos. I've owned a home in Ventnor since 2007. So I've been, you know, summer resident, I guess, so to speak, in Ventnor. And we purchased this house in February. And, you know, we're looking to improve it because this is where we plan to spend all of our summers for the future.
So this would be a vacation house for you and your family, correct?
Correct.
So why are you seeking approval for this renovation?
The house is, you know, pretty outdated. You know, we like to obviously improve the look of it and the usability. You know, we have no on-street parking on our street. It's paid parking during the day. So obviously bringing a parking spot onto the lot would be great. That would be three spots because we do park in the garage, as my neighbors can attest. Again, it would the larger decks would allow us to spend more time out there. The decks right now are tiny. They're really not usable in the shape that they're in. That's pretty much it, just to improve the property.
So by taking out that first floor porch, you're doing that to add a parking spot, and that's part of the reason why you're seeking approval to add the third floor deck, correct?
That is correct, and that also came about because we were looking to cover, you know, have some protection from the sun during the day from the second floor deck, and you know, the roof lines and the way this house was designed with, you know, 20 different angles up there kind of came to a flat roof, and you know, we thought we could get some great views and some, you know, a lot of usability on the third floor deck.
Right. So that's what you would hope to accomplish by extending the front porches forward and adding that third story deck. Is that correct?
Right.
So that'll increase your use and enjoyment of the property and improve your view toward the water as well, correct?
Correct. Also, our neighbors to the east have extended theirs to that point over the past, you know, couple years. So, you know, kind of cut back the visibility that this house has. So we were just trying to basically have what they have in a sense.
Okay. And what about extending the second floor deck out into the side yard? You heard me talk about the bump out. What's the purpose of that?
You know, we think it serves many purposes. One, you know, we do want to, you know, instead of having a regular grill, you know, roll around grill underneath the, you know, the covered deck, we thought it would be a little safer to extend it out, obviously building it with all non-combustible materials. You know, the houses on that street are very close together. As you see, we on the street side of it also propose, you know, to just to keep it extended as a planter so we can put some greenery up there. And it will give us a little buffer, you know, from our neighbor's deck that's there as well.
Okay. And have you discussed with your neighbors if they're okay with these plans?
We have. We've shown them the plans, and they seem to have, you know, given us a thumbs up and love the idea. Haven't really commented any further than that, you know, they would like to see it go forward.
Very good. And just for the board's edification, I think we have either one or both of those adjoining neighbors on the call who may speak during public comment, confirm what Mr. Colobos has indicated. So the last question I have for you, Chris, is if the board approves your request, when would you intend to do the renovations?
Once, if we do get approvals, then we can go ahead and move in getting architecturals, get a bid, and we'd like to do it as soon as possible. We'd hope to be done by next summer.
Okay, but great.
As soon as we can possibly do it.
Okay. Those are all the questions I really have for Mr. Colobos. So if anyone from the board might have a question for him at this time, we'd offer the opportunity to do so. Otherwise, I'd proceed with testimony from our architect.
Well, I've got a question about the cooking area that you're proposing. You mentioned non-combustible materials. Are you going to think about putting in some kind of suppression system? And what kind of non-combustible materials?
I know we were planning on building it out of either some sort of stone or travertine, you know, with a stainless steel cabinet and obviously a stainless steel cover on the grill and backsplash. But I haven't looked into that, but we would take recommendations.
Yeah, what I'm thinking about is the ceiling of the, you know, the underside of the third story deck. The construction, what would that material be? Are you wrapping AZAC or
You know what? I'd have to defer to the architect to discuss that. We haven't really gotten that far into it. I mean, AZAC's what usually, you know, put on those, but I would.
That's a concern of ours, okay. You know, with fire suppression.
I agree with you, Tom.
Good evening. And Mr. Halpin, to address that directly at this time. What we could suggest is a fire retardant CDX plywood covered over with some sort of hardy board to kind of obviously for flame suppression. While AZAC is something typical, you can do some sort of a hardy board that looks similar on those undersides.
Right.
That would kind of achieve a similar aesthetic look, but also be, you know, a little bit better in that area as a fire retardant material.
Right. Okay.
Thank
you.
Mr.
Halpin. Hello.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Can anyone hear me?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. We just had a call coming in.
I'm sorry. Do you have to take that?
No, I don't.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we addressed your question to your satisfaction.
I believe I think so. I'm just wondering though, if there's any chance you would put in a fire suppression system if need be. I'd like to see it, but
yeah. I mean, we're open if that's something that, you know, the board would request to get this done. You know, again, I don't know the details on that, but we would look into it. And if that's what you guys would need.
I'm very leery about people cooking under decks. no matter what kind of, you know, materials sometimes. They do get away from the fires when they do go.
And again, that was our concern, and that's why we, you know, kind of proposed cantilevering it. So, you know,
gotcha.
We're not directly under it. But, yeah, I mean, we want to take the board's recommendations and, you know, whatever makes sense we want to do, because we want to be safe, too. I don't want to build this and have it, you know.
Exactly. All right, thank you.
Mr. Barnowski?
Yes,
well, we're talking about the cooking here. This is Jay Cook. You're intruding into the side yard 2.5 feet. So that leaves you with about roughly 2 feet from the property line. The neighboring house is about 4.5 feet, I think, from the property line, if I'm not mistaken. So you're in the neighborhood of 6 to 7 feet. You know, the side yards are put in here for reasons of creating privacy. But I've lived waterfront and decks and so on, going contiguous and so on. And barbecues and smoke and cooking have a way of traveling very, very rapidly to other properties, even when they're 20, 30 feet away sometimes. And I sincerely question the placement of this with regard to your neighbors, and when you're doing outdoor cooking, it does get smoky, and this is a problem, and we even move these things around with restaurant exhausts and so on, put them away and the like, but. Have you given any thought? Nobody's talked about that. First of all, you're intruding into the setback. And second of all, I think you have a privacy problem here. And in some cases, creating offensive odors and other things to another neighbor.
All right. And thanks, Mr. Cook. To your point, we do have, I believe, our neighbor to that side, Mr. Kallenbach, is on the line. And we have discussed the plan with him and reviewed the plan with him, as he had indicated to us, he is supportive of the proposal. And I think during public comment, he could speak to that further. I think also to your point, if you're saying it's 30 feet away, it could still, you know, cause an issue. Then, you know, we have to be respectful of how we use the property and whether it's, you know, extended 2.5 feet further toward the, within the 5-yard setback or 7 or 8 feet. I think this is just a amount of space we thought was reasonable for the cantilevered deck to be able to create a little more space within the second floor deck.
I understand, because it's also intruding into our setback, and it's creating a variance which may or not be. And I feel that it's creating, if not now, in the future, it could create a problem between neighbors. And it's a potential problem. We've seen it many times, and it's not the first time we've seen this.
So, understood. And I think you know that those kinds of issues could be created just the same way by a portable grill being rolled around and used on the outside. I think the proposed cooking area.
I'm just giving you a heads up.
Understood. No, and I appreciate your point, and we certainly would like to address that and be a good neighbor. Okay. So if I could have Mr. Patchell, if the board would like to see the renderings, we could have him share the screen, or I could share my screen, or if you all had the plan in front of you, we don't need to do that. So,
Does everybody have the plan in front of them, or do they need the screen up?
No, but I think we all have the plan, right?
Okay. If you have all the plan, we'll have Mr. Patrick speak to it. So with reference to the plans, SK1 and SK2, Mr. Patrick, can you please just take a walk through those plans with us for the board?
Of course. So I guess just to kind of reiterate what we've been looking at is that we're looking for this property that we're moving and replacing the existing first and second floor decks with the addition of a rooftop deck, essentially. We're essentially sacrificing the use of a first floor deck to allow for additional off-street parking and kind of reallocating that space to a roof deck accessible from the second floor deck. We're trying to bring those deck lines out so they align with the neighbor's deck lines, and it kind of creates that datum line and extends that across the street, kind of making a more aesthetically pleasing front elevation. In total, for the overview of the renovations, as previously mentioned, these decks, they're going to be fiberglass decks, fiberglass solid decks. They're going to have a vinyl newel post and glass panels as guardrails, so as to obviously create the safety to block off the edges, but also not be so intrusive and not such a busy elevation. Some of these techniques are going to obviously play along more to the modern, more of a modern design that not only complements the existing structure, but as Mr. Bownowski mentioned previously, it also kind of is in accordance with the master plan reexamination report done in 2016, that to encourage the design of a more modern design. The rooftop deck that we're proposing, we're asking that it goes beyond the allow the inset of the building footprint so as to go beyond the neighbor's property as it stands. As the neighbors kind of along the street line have kind of went into the front yard setback, it's kind of blocked the view if we were to stay within the inset of the building footprint. Therefore, we're asking that we just come out to the same line that we're asking for on the second floor that matches the line of the neighbor's deck so that we can basically get those more aesthetically pleasing views towards the ocean. And as Mr. Colvus also, to basically kind of give them the same advantage they have to enjoy some seating space and some gathering space while they're down there. The proposed new curb cut that we're asking for is essentially to deal with the issue of non-public off-site parking. Right now, only having the garage and a possible one space outside of the garage, having the second park, having the essentially the third parking space would be very beneficial to allow them not to have the paid parking space and enjoy their the residents, I'm sure they have a guest or so. As Mr. Colvus has actually previously attested, he's spoken with his neighbors and he has informed us that keeping them in the loop that they've supported these renovations and these additions to the property, as they will speak also later at the public forum should they choose. Therefore, we don't believe that this design does not present a substantial detriment to the public. With that, we kindly ask that you consider our request for relief for this project and would appreciate you accepting our application and approving it.
Mr. Pastor, I just want to ask a couple quick follow-up things. So I heard your testimony that we would be creating an enhanced view toward the ocean without obstructing any of the neighboring properties' views, correct?
That is correct.
And would you say the design implements a nice modern design, a modern aesthetic that complements the existing structure while also complementing the surrounding structures?
Yes, agreed.
Like it fits in, correct?
That's good, yes.
Did you review the letter by the board's engineer, Mr. McLarnon?
I did.
Okay, and can you just, I think one thing on there that I'm not sure we confirmed yet would be that you expect runoff is not going to travel onto neighboring properties, right? Because of the grading is sloped away, the runoff goes toward the street?
That's correct. By the landscape plan that's located on SK1, landscaping company has kind of determined that they're going to grade and replace the existing ground cover to allow for any of the runoff to be permeable, not greater than it already exists.
Okay, just want to make sure we address that because It's the case that the addition of the coverage over the decks creates the need for requesting variance relief from building coverage, correct?
That is correct. Right now, we're asking for a variance for the building coverage to be 62.6%.
Okay, so that request, based on what you've testified to about runoff, won't create any detrimental impact to the neighbors either, correct?
No.
All right, I think that's all I have for Mr. Patchell. Okay, if the board had any other questions for him at this time, I'd invite you.
I have a question. Are all the renovations just exterior to the decks on the front, or are there also going to be renovations internally in the building?
As of right now, our scope is dealing with just essentially a facelift to the exterior front, and then just repainting of the sides.
So on what floor is the kitchen and dining area of the house?
That is on the second floor. It's an upside second down. Floor. Yep. Yeah, all the living space is on the second floor.
Okay.
And I just want to add, the only other possible thing, depending on budget, might be the windows, because we are going to be replacing pretty much all of the windows in the front of the house. So that would be the only other thing. The windows are almost 30-something years old. So it's really the only other thing we're looking into.
So you're basically saying the kitchen and the dining is on the second floor, not on the first floor next to the living area.
So the first floor consists of two bedrooms, a bathroom, the garage, laundry room, and like a small sitting room. Okay. The second floor is where the kitchen, like family room, like the powder room. So the second floor is where pretty much all the living happens.
And on that second floor, the deck that you're going to put in, it's not cut off, so it's really open. So if you had a grill on the area towards Atlantic Avenue where it's open to the sky, that wouldn't prohibit you from having a grill on that side, would it?
No, but our issue with that is it would be in the way of using that space. And, that's where we were going to have a sitting area and, our tables, chairs, where we'd be really, eating, and the usability of it would still be under that side.
Right. I'm only asking because I am also concerned, as what the chairman raised, about encroaching on neighbor's property line. The current neighbor may not object, but there's no guarantee that neighbor will be in that house forever. And the next owner of the property may have concerns. And again, there's also the issue of, with what's there, in terms of cooking. And it's, it's in this part of the structure of the building, and it's not something that's movable. That's the only questions I have right now. Thank you.
Okay, so if anyone else has any more questions for Mr. Patchell, we'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, that would conclude.
I have a couple questions for Mr. Patchell.
Sure.
Yeah. To fill in. On your drawing, Mr. Patchell, you don't plot the any of the line of the existing adjoining properties. Your testimony says that the front of the of this deck will be equal to the front of a property, which would be the ocean side. Is that correct?
That is correct.
You will not be going past it. You will be equal to it, not be behind it.
Correct. If you actually refer to SK1, there is a site layout, and I'm unsure of how clear it may be. However, if you see that there are these four blackened squares with a dashed line that are connecting it along the front.
Right.
And you see there's a note indicating that that dashed line is the extent of the decks. That's the furthest points of the deck.
Well, if that dashed line, I thought the dashed line was the property line, isn't it? the dash line on your survey. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm looking at I'm on SK1. Okay. The dashed line is there. I see it. It looks like you're ahead of the adjoining property according to your drawing. It looks like you are in front of the building on the ocean side of it. Because I just put the
dimensions
on it.
The dimensions bear that out, Mr. Chairman. The setback on lot 6.01 is 5 feet 6 inches, and the proposed is 4.6 inches. So
right,
this sticks out an extra foot.
Right, and that is contrary to your testimony.
I guess looking at what's going on here, I guess I would say that I would have to correct that in saying that we are sticking out a little bit past that, but I think that would be more to allow us to have that unobstructed view.
Why can't it be equal like you originally testified to?
I think we were just kind of looking to optimize the amount of space that we have up there.
Well, can we make that equal?
I don't see why.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, Jason. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing it's in here, I think the parking place, the amount of area in front of the garage, it looks like 18.7 feet. Is that correct? For the space between the garage and the side is the property line.
Correct. That's being measured as 18.7 feet.
Right. And Roger, that is 18 feet sufficient for a parking place? Roger McLaren, is that
you're on? He's on mute.
Yes.
Okay. 18 feet is sufficient for a parking place. In there, so that there should be some demarcation that's the parking place. And then, how many in the garage? How many cars will the garage access or accommodate?
Looks like one to me.
It's a one-car garage.
The one-car garage. Okay, so you have two parking places.
Currently. We're going to have three total.
Where's three?
Creating one under the deck space.
If you have one parking place, if you have one in the garage and one outside of the garage.
Jay, they're adding a third parking space on the right-hand side of the building.
Okay, they're adding a third on the right-hand side on sheet SK1.
That's right. Correct.
Correct. Correct. Okay, so you're adding a sheet on SK1, so you're giving a third. And how many bedrooms does the house have?
It's a five-bedroom home.
Oh, it's a five-bedroom home. So that would be, under our ordinance, would qualify. So you're not seeking variances at this point for that.
Correct.
But you're adding one, which the one you're adding would bring that into conformance. That would be safe to say.
Correct. Adding the parking space would have made us into
conformance. Would bring it into conformance.
Yes, and
so we're asking for the curb cut. Right. Right. Now, with that, I'm still having a hard time with the putting something into a side yard setback, which is already pretty light, and then having a potential noxious odor problem in that area. I just don't think it's the right place for it. I think it poses problems, and it was even brought. You know, maybe one guy doesn't like it now, but what happens if it gets out of hand, or what happens if somebody else buys the house? And it's a big objection. And it's something that we don't normally do, and it's something that we don't actually allow building a setback. So, have you given consideration to alternatives there? Because it's a setback problem initially.
I think what we could propose, Mr. Cook, to address that concern and mitigate that issue, and I think our neighbor on that side at 105 would like to address that during public comment as well. I think he kind of raising his hand to speak during the public comment period when we get there, which I appreciate. He's been hanging in there for all this time to speak, and we'll try to get to him quickly. I think one means we may have to mitigate that concern would be to put a range hood over this to ventilate it as you would, with an indoor range. And that'll improve ventilation better than, you would have with any grilling outside the property.
Sure. We still have a setback problem, though, but that's for the board to decide. But I'm just giving you an issue, but that's an interesting solution.
Sure. And again, to reiterate, it's a cantilevered situation, so it's not physically on the ground floor, obstructing, anybody on from moving around or having light air and open space on the ground floor level. It's on the second floor. It's elevated. It's cantilevered. So that's just another consideration for the board.
The setbacks are is to space properties out and for combustibles and other things. So that's the only thing that we're looking at. So.
Right.
And by the way, your plan is a very some very nice architectural assets, by the way.
Thank you.
For the contemporary design in there. And I thought you were citing our master plan, and I think you that was a good site on your part.
Thank you.
So I'll turn it over to anyone else who wishes to speak. Otherwise, we'll go into the public.
Jay?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Greer.
Yeah, Greer.
As far as the architectural, it looks great, but I'm stuck on the issue of the barbecue on the second floor. I don't like that it's close to the third floor deck with flames shooting up, and it's also close to the structure itself. I've been on fires with Tom. We've seen a lot. We've seen tanks explode. We've seen just grease go up in flames and damage homes. And I'd rather see it on the first floor, on the ground level somewhere.
So I just have
on that same line. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
I can just jump in. So you're saying if, let's say I don't get approvals and I leave the house as it is, I won't be allowed to grill on the second floor, underneath the covering like I do right now, to be honest with you. I mean, right when you walk out the door is where I have my grill covered from the
outside. We're not.
Is that not allowed? I'm just asking.
We're not. The board, for the purpose of this hearing, is not regulating that I know of, unless I'm speaking out of turn and I can be corrected. But we're addressing zoning issues today.
Okay.
And any other pertinent issues, but yeah, obviously safety is the your part.
Yeah,
Tom may have something to say about that, but this is primarily a zoning hearing, and then there are other compliance issues that may be needed. But people, that's it. That's not part of this hearing that I know of, unless it's a key factor in doing things. But
safety certainly is something. If I may, Mr. Chairman, if I could ask Tom, a question. And for Mr. Baranowski and Mr. Kolovos's information, Tom is our fire official. So he's very well versed in this. So is there a space limitation on something of a grill like that between, one, their own property line, and two, because I know we have rules for fire pits. Open flames have to be 10 feet away from a property line, something like that. Is that pertain to a grill? I don't know. With regard to the adjoining home, so this would be, if that setback is what's the setback to the adjoining home on 601? 5 feet, 6 feet, I'm not sure. So
looks like it's around 5 feet, Lance.
I'm sorry?
Looks like it's
almost five feet. So then that's plus 2.5 to this thing. That would be what, almost 8 feet or so?
7 feet.
Seven feet. You know, is that something that concerns? It seems like it concerns our fire department. So that would raise an eyebrow for me. But I think everybody said this so far. The architectural design of this is, you know, off the chart. I love the look of this building. And it's a cool aspect to have this outdoor kitchen there, as long as we can make it safe. That I think that seems to be the board's biggest concern, as long as we can make it safe. And not infringe on the neighboring property. So
this is
I'm open to further discussion on it, but I'm just
to be clear with the design, it's 2 feet outboard of the roof, the overhang above. So there isn't a roof directly above it, correct?
That's correct.
Right.
Hmm. Okay. That makes it even, all right.
But there is an awning below it.
There's an awning below it, but we're talking about the fire hazard. It's 10 feet to the third story deck, I guess less 3 feet. So it's 7 feet below the second story deck and in front of it. The grill itself is outside of the house. So I'm not really seeing where a hood could be incorporated, or even comparable to other people that grill outside of their houses, where it would be a detriment. So I haven't heard of an outdoor suppression system either. So I'm curious about that.
I'm going to jump in here. There are certain cooking systems, you know. Indoor grilling systems where they pull the vapors below. You've got a couple, there's a myriad of systems with the hood systems, you know, a big backdrop. Those things can work, but I got to tell you something. It's a single family home. My jurisdiction really is in telling people how to grill. It's in triplexes and up. I'm concerned about the, you know, the fire safety here. But when it comes down to, you know, a private home, I got to, you know, tread lightly for single family and duplexes. If somebody wants to have a barbecue on a deck, and he already does, there's not much I can say about that. You know, it is close to the neighbor's house, so I have something to say about that. You can't have an open flame within 10 feet of your house. But how big is this grill? I mean, like I said, there's many styles of grills. So what are we talking about? Is this going to be a natural gas, you know, plumbed up to there? Or is it going to be a propane tank? So there's some considerations there. Like I said,
we would take recommendations, you know, from you guys. You know, you guys point us in the right direction. We thought, you know, my wife and I thought, you know, obviously the aesthetic and, you know, freeing up the space, but we thought this would be a safer option, having it there. This is not some big commercial grill.
Right, that's your thing, BTU.
I don't know if it's like a 30-inch or a 28-inch. It's a standard. It's basically the same grill that you would have on wheels, you know, in the kitchen. It's set, you know, it's
can we –
go ahead.
Can I make a comment? Maybe the thing to do would be to – move it further away from the house, flip-flop it from the position it's in, move it out towards the street a little more. That would get it away from the house next door.
Yeah, I actually we actually designed it there just so, because it backs up to the neighbor's chimney. If you move it to the street, it gets closer to his, you know, to his deck and his sitting space. So that's why we put it in that area.
Why don't we
put it in the middle? I mean,
we can return to this this topic. Why don't we go to the public and have the public speak, please? I think it'll be a good idea. If anybody wouldn't mind.
We agree.
I'd like to go to the public. So at this time, I'd like to open to the public and get some comment in here.
Hey, Mr. Kallenbeck, you have a question? Do you want to unmute yourself?
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah, is this Charles Kallenbeck?
Yes, so my first name is Charles. My last name is Kallenbach.
And your address?
Is 105 South Newport.
Okay, Mr. Kallenbach, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So,
please, Mr. Kallenbach, make your comments, please.
Thank you. So, my wife, Allison, and I, we own 105 South Newport next door. And we've been getting to know the Kolobos family. I want to support the Kolobos application today. And affirm some of the things that that were said previously about my opinion of these changes. So primarily, my view is that the changes that the Kolobos want to make will enhance the block. They look beautiful. I agree that the architectural drawings that I saw, I'm not an expert in this, but the design seems really attractive, and so we're generally supportive of the application. More specifically, though, just to talk about a couple of the things that were mentioned previously, so with respect to the grill on the second floor, as Mr. Kolobos mentioned, there's already a grill on the floor, on that second floor deck. Just to back up one second, I would say that Mr. Kolobos is correct, and his architect is correct, that our deck is further out into the street than other houses in the neighborhood, because our house is very, very old. And so Mr. Kolobos has a very nice view of our deck, not of the ocean. And so I think it would be nice for the Koloboses to have that, to have the view of the ocean. And so I generally support the additions that they're going to make. With respect to the grills more specifically, I'm not so worried about grill smells. I have a grill that I use that's in between my property and Mr. Kolobos's property. And so, you know, the smells and so on that Mr. Kolobos could make are similar to the smells that I could make, I guess. And so I think we both have to be good neighbors and not and not take advantage of anything like that. In terms of the cantilevered second floor deck, I think that's helpful in terms of it sounds like it's helpful in terms of the combustibility issue and the use of those the use of the items that we were discussing, I think would be helpful in terms of mitigating that potential issue. Practically speaking, the winds that we experience on that block tend to come off of the ocean. And so for me, I'm not terribly concerned about the smells from that grill, and appreciate that the Kolobos's and their architect are being very considerate about the combustibility issues. And happy to take any questions from anyone on the board. Greatly appreciate you letting me appear tonight.
I have a question. I'm looking at a photograph that was supplied in our engineer's report, and it seems like you have an awning in front of your porch, right?
We have an awning on top, yes, that covers the second floor porch or deck.
And it, from the photograph, it seems like the awning also extends beyond the side of the house towards the Kovalos' house. Is that true?
Yes, it does. I don't know how much, but it does. That's correct.
So therefore, that having the extension that they're planning to put on to the on the second floor, the distance between that extension and your awning would be very close. So my concern would be any ability to have it get on fire because it's so close, because it extends towards the Kovalos and the grill would be towards your house. So there isn't much distance between the two of them.
I don't think.
The only thing I would say to that is his awning is on his first floor. Right. So the grill is on the second floor that we're proposing. Right. So basically the awning is underneath. And the awning is towards the front, and that's another reason why we're trying to put the grill towards the back. Just
well, if you'd let me interject again, I took out the International Fire Code for New Jersey. That's a 2015 edition. And at section 308.1.4, open flame cooking devices and outdoor fireplaces. Well, basically what it's saying is shall not be operated or stored on combustible balconies or decks or within 5 feet of combustible construction. So we're not talking 10 feet, we're talking 5 feet here. We're talking a grill, you're not building a fireplace up there. Right. You know, a lot of the exceptions are 1 and 2 family dwellings. Once it gets higher than that, we're talking multiple, you know, multi-family dwellings. That's where our office really comes in. This, again, is a private home. You already have a barbecue up there. So now we're getting back to 5 foot within combustible. And when you start building with non-combustible, you know, that it goes more in your favor, you know, especially when it's in the code.
Right.
So we're also talking about, you know, LP gas. Same thing, it's within 5, or if you have it plumbed with natural gas. They also do talk about automatic sprinkler systems, but you know that's something you could check into later. There are different cooking methods that you could use. So I'm sort of thinking that you're looking towards like a stainless steel roll-around type, you know, with a hood system maybe. Were you thinking of a certain kind of fuel? Would have been propane? Is that what you have now?
We have, that's what I have now is a propane. Right. Yeah, but we're open. If, you know, you said it would be better to be plumbed with natural gas, then we would
think. You know what? That's something you'd have to look into. But I think right now an LP tank is fine for you up there. You're above that on it. You know, heat rises. When we start talking about non-combustible construction, especially on the underside of the deck, I think that's where the direction you're headed. I also like to say that's great design. I grew up in that neighborhood. You really clean that up, modernizing it. So, you know, I hope that helps.
Thank you.
I'm less concerned with the location it being set back from the street, and not at all concerned with the smells, because I think if we started enforcing smells of grilling in Ventnor, we'd have a lot of enforcement to do. There's a lot of grilling. But I just want to point out one other thing about the setback. I think we're missing the look of this house. He's pulling it back so far and making the deck less massive that the front of the house is actually going to look further back than his neighbors. And the structure of that deck, I think it's worth pointing out that he's actually adding more footprint to the outside area. And it's not, and to me, so I don't really, in my opinion, it's not objectionable that it's further closer to gain the views to that second floor deck, because of the massing of the house and the way the design is created, it's actually going to look further back.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Commissioner Kriebel. You know, if someone wants to put a grill on the ground right next to the property line, which is where mine was before I moved it to my deck, you know, there's nothing stopping somebody from doing that. We're getting away from what really we should be looking at. if the grill being located there meets our fire code, and it sounds like it would, if it's got some certain materials made from, you know, non-combustible, whatever, if it meets that code, that's beyond our purview. The setback is within us. That is, I agree with that. The setback is within our purview. But when it comes to us worrying about fire codes and things of that nature, that's, and the single family nature of it even is outside of Tom's purview. It's more construction office. So I think we're getting a little bit off of our role.
I agree.
If we don't like the setback of that building bumping out 2.5 feet, whether it's being used for, you know, a dance floor, a grill, or whatever the heck the Kovalos want to put there, that's what we should be looking at, not whether it's a grill. Right. You know, my opinion, and that's where I sit on it. The grill doesn't bother me there. You know, I have seen my house. My neighbor's deck is 3 feet from my property line, or my deck. So I live in close proximity. He's got a grill there. I got a grill. I know what he's cooking for that night, and he knows what I'm cooking. So that's part of living at the shore. You live in close proximity to your neighbors, and that's part of that atmosphere. So you heard from the one neighbor. I am interested to see if the neighbor on the opposite side is here, because I think he's going to be the one that has the view issues that would be created by this. Again, I agree with Commissioner Kriebel. The front of this building, the way it's designed, really pulls that back. Yes, it's there 4.5 feet from the property line, but the mass of the structure is not there. The way this is designed really, I think, creates a nice facade of, this is Greg Roman's old house, right, Chris?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. So, Lance, this is an excellent design. Lance?
I heard you.
Lance?
I heard you, Jay.
Yeah, okay.
I think we all it's not a problem.
Okay. Can we call the next person up for in the public? At this time, can we bring the next person up who wants to speak?
Guys, I'm looking at the names, and I don't see the other number. They're a little bit older. I don't know if they lasted this long. I think they were on earlier.
Only name I don't recognize is Robert Merring.
Robert
is
a holiday architect.
Mr. and Mrs. Jacobs, I don't see them on here. You know, they've been at their house for many, many, many years. Again, we have a good relationship with them. I guess you're going to have to take my word on it because they're not here. We've shown them the plan. One of the reasons that we put the glass railing there too, just to absolutely guarantee that there's zero, you know, visibility issues. Yeah, I've helped them do a lot of improvements to the house, so they love me too. So they're you know, that's why they're not here on the other end of it. But they're a good.
There's also a view across the playground out to the ocean too from that house.
Right. That's actually a question I have, Chris. So you've lived there for a little while now. You've been there for a little while now, since February.
Yeah, February. Yeah, we had to clean it up a little bit, and
right.
Yeah, but yeah, we've been there.
Just to make sure you're aware, there are events at this, at our property there across the street. We have concerts on Saturday nights. We have, you know, hopefully we're having, well, maybe we may not be having our trunk or treat there. We have a lot of events there. So just be aware, you're moving into a neighborhood that's going to be active.
Very aware. Doesn't take long to okay. 1 weekend there, you can pick up on
just
that.
Just put it take long. On the record. Because we've had other people say, hey, you know, you're having all these events there. Yeah, it's been a playground and a concert venue for a long time. So
we like it. We couldn't be happier. As I said, I've had a home on North Portland Ave since 07, which actually my brother now owns. So, you know, and we have a lot of family in Ventnor. Nice. So we're very
– your background is kitchens too, right? You're
Old West Diner, right? Catering, restaurants, diners. So I'm very well aware of, you know, how to maintain my grill and knowing how often to clean it. And yeah, so
thanks for bringing back Olga's too.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Oh, you brought back Olga's.
Correct. Yep.
Nice.
Oh, what a landmark. That's a landmark. Did you know Gus Stavros?
John. I think it's his brother.
John,
right?
Stavros. John Stavros, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, okay. He passed a couple years ago.
Oh, so okay.
Come back.
They were old school.
They were amazing. Good. Amazing.
Yep, they were. Okay. At this time, is there anyone else to speak in the public? Are we exhausted our supply?
Yep, you're all good.
Okay, we're done. So the public portion of this particular application is now closed. Board members, do you have any questions of the applicant or anything that you wish to discuss?
Do we need to talk about the curb cuts, Jay? Just there's going to be, if I look at the plan indicates that the curb cuts would total 28 feet.
There's no, but just interact, there's no street parking on that side at all. It's fully, okay. It's the backup. You're backing up into a metered spot.
Okay. So it doesn't matter.
It's irrelevant.
And it's a bit,
all right.
And it's a bit narrow too. It's a bit narrow also. So I'd rather see a little larger curb cut and give them a little more radius to get in and out.
Yeah, it's tight pulling in there. Thank you for that. It is a little tight, you know, when backing up because that parking lot's full. Pulling out of there during the day in the summer is, you know, it's tricky.
Yeah, so that wider, that give them a little more radius to turn. So that would be good, excellent. Okay. What are we going to do? You have a proposal to basically put a fireproof material in around the grill, put some kind of hood system in that would stop, that would contain some of the smoke in the area. At this point, you know, make it a little friendly and that's it. And then you have, and that's the extent what you're proposing. You're not moving the location at all in your application, to my knowledge. And that's how it's going to work out. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Mr. Cook, we, would like the board to consider that the proposed, the variance, that the benefits would outweigh any potential detriments, that we're enhancing the safety there with regard to that proposed area for the grill. We'll comply with the suggested conditions for construction of that area in such a manner as to enhance the fire safety, and we'll abide by the board's suggestions in that regard. And we'd like if the board would deliberate on the application as presented.
Okay. So we're set in that area. You are requesting a waiver of street trees and a waiver of the governorship, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Is there anything else, Roger, that has to be discussed with the applicant now?
No, I think in regard to the hood and all that, I mean, they would comply with their construction code requirements when they go for permits.
Okay. Any other administrative things that need to be done? Anything? Questions on setbacks?
Just to confirm that the setback's going to match Mr. Kallenbach's deck at 5.5 feet.
That's correct.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
That would be it. Okay. At this time, we're ready for a vote. Leo, if you could frame a motion in the affirmative, please.
Yeah.
I would wait and do that.
Yeah, the quick question I had is the Kallenbach setback, is that 5.5 feet or 5 feet?
5.5 feet.
Okay, so that's going to amend the setback.
Mr. Chair, Leo, if I could.
Yes.
Just because there's some question about the grill, you may want to bifurcate that portion of the application. I know some people have different opinions on it. I'd like them to be able to, work them separately. Just be a good idea. I
think. Okay, well, that's a very good suggestion. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to do that would basically be the side yard setback variance.
Right.
Exactly. Right.
Do that one second. The Greek lawyer will frame a motion. So we need a motion for C variance relief for the following. In the first vote, we'll do the following: front yard setback to the second floor deck of 5.5 feet
as opposed to the 4.6 feet where 8 feet's required. Front yard setback variance to the third floor deck, 5.5 feet where 18.7 feet's required. A building coverage variance, Roger, does that get reduced at all, possibly?
It'll be reduced by the foot from moving the deck back.
By about a foot. So it's obviously going to be above 50%, but it's going to be lower than the 62.6. And we'll say they'll provide an revised calculation, but that'll be a variance. And the curb cuts, they're proposing two, one 16-footer and one 12-footer. I'll include the condition. I'll include the waivers in this vote also from the street trees and providing a governor strip. And then I'll include the condition in the second vote. So that would be the first vote. Someone needs to make a motion in a second.
Okay. Well, let's do that one first. And then we have a motion and a second on the vote.
Make the motion.
I'll second it.
Yes. Okay. We'll have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Commissioner Landgraf.
As I said in my previous comments, I think the change to the front of this building is really, really well done. Right now it seems all closed in, just doesn't seem inviting. This really opens it up, and I've said this before, it's not my style of home. I like the older home style, but this contemporary look, it really, really makes a nice fit for that location, and I vote yes on those variances.
Commissioner Kriebel.
I think I vote yes. I think it's a benefit to the neighborhood aesthetically, and the improvement of the use of the building and the mass, I think, is also a benefit to the neighborhood.
Tom Halpin.
I agree with our commissioners. I really believe it's going to do a lot of the good for the area. You got that extra parking spot. I think it's fine. It's a beautiful design. I vote yes.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote yes. First of all, the design is going to be influential in the community, and it's going to perk people's idea up to invest more in their frontages. Good work gets other good work by neighbors and others who see it. Also some of the ancillary things that are going on, they're bringing the property into conformance with parking. They're providing curb cuts that are workable. They're going to actually enhance, I think, some of the seashore nature of the community and the lifestyle in here. They're making the property more livable, which enhances just the value of the property itself and provides for a better economic base for the community. And I think overall that at this point with this vote, there's very little negative impact. And the impact is more positive. So, I'm voting yes.
Herman Zabi Hutch.
I'm also voting yes. I think the design is fabulous. Even though we didn't hear from the neighbor on the corner of Atlantic, I think the openness of the design will not inhibit any views that particular house has. So I think that's wonderful. I appreciate the fact that the applicant was willing to move the front of the porch back to be consistent with the line, the streetscape of all the other properties. I think that's the most positive aspect of our hearing tonight. My concern about encroaching on the side is there, but I like the design. I personally do like the idea that there's a grill there. But, I am also concerned about the precedent of, allowing these kinds of little setbacks. But nonetheless, I vote yes.
Lorraine Salata.
Once we cleared up the whole side yard setback issue, which was a concern for me as well, I have absolutely no problem with this project. I think it's just such an enhancement to the whole street. The house as it stands now, it doesn't add to the light and airiness that we should have at a seashore community. Excuse me. So I think it's a great project. I'm excited to see it when it's finished, and I wish them the best of luck. Vote yes.
Dan Smith III.
I'm also going to vote in favor of the renovations. One thing that on the site plan, it looks like you're adding some nice landscaping also with the hardscape. And I think it's really aesthetically pleasing. It's a high traffic area, really open there, and will be a showpiece. I don't see any negative criteria. And you're adding a parking space, which is a plus.
I just want to add one thing. I didn't mention the landscaping. Thank you for saying that. Terrific.
Okay. So that passes 7-0. We still do need a couple of you made comments alluding to the side yard setback on the second floor deck, but that's okay. We're going to do in a second. We'll need a second motion and a second for the side yard setback on the right side to that second floor deck, and that's for the cooking area. 2.5 feet proposed, 5 feet required. In addition, I'll just say that they'll comply with the construction code when obtaining their permits. They're going to have to do that anyway. And they'll try and keep it as safe as possible. And then, you know, the other conditions, anything else mentioned in Roger's report that we didn't otherwise address on the record.
Right. Okay. And we have a motion and a second for that, please.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
We both do.
Okay. And we'll have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Landgraf.
Again, I think the safety aspect of this will be controlled under our building code. The neighbor immediately adjacent does not have an issue with this. I like the design. I think it adds just a little nuance to this property, to this already well-designed facade of the building, the front facade. And I think it's pretty imaginative to put something out there like that and bump it out and not have the roof structure above it. So I vote yes. I think it does not negatively impact the neighbor. He's invited over to have some of those grilled foods.
You're all invited over.
Commissioner Kriebel. Commissioner Kriebel.
Yes. I also agree, as long as they're held to the same safety standards as the rest of the city, which is built into the code. I think it is an interesting design, and I vote yes.
Tom Halpin.
I do. I like this design a lot. I think that's thought out well, and I think it'll work. So, yes.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote yes. I looked at it from two different ways. One, the setback there is on the actual set, the encroachment is on the second floor. So the circulation around the building for safety personnel and other personnel is not compromised. And other comments were made by, I think Lance made them, is about the design, the mass, and how it does fit very well within the integrity of the design. So with that and its benefit, and then the testimony of the neighbor and going through and the living, and yeah, we're not regulating smells. We're looking at safety. And there's enough safeguards in here to do that. So I am going to vote yes.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
I also vote yes. If the side yard was bigger, it would be no problem. It's just a numeric issue. I think the design is fabulous, and I really like the idea that there's going to be a planter box in front of that, so it would even add more aesthetics. But the design is really good.
Lorraine Salata.
I vote yes, but because of all the other statements, I'm included in that. I agree.
Dan Smith III.
I also vote in favor. I think it's well thought out. It's not it's not on the first floor, so the bump out is minimal on its encroaching the neighbor. But in general, it's a great plan. Well, really well thought out, and I commend the Holiday Architects here. They did a great job, and no negative impact. I think it'll work out well, and it'll be a real showpiece for the area.
All right, and Roger, just to note, Roger recalculated building coverage to about 61.3% with them pushing the deck back about a foot. But that's
okay. We're done. So the motion carried. The motion is carried 7-0, right?
Yes.
Carried 7-7. Okay, you are approved.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you. And yes, so we'll be all set. And Mr. Kavalos?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for presenting a nice plan and being a stakeholder in our community.
It's our pleasure. We love it there, and you know we're going to be a very long time. So
right, and we do talk things out, and we do come to conclusions, and we try to be fair.
Yeah, so, you are, we want to do it right. So I think it takes the village to get it right.
Right, but rather than just rubber stamp something, we do talk it out. And that's what you saw this evening. And we came to a suitable conclusion, we feel.
Much appreciated.
Thank you. So with that, welcome again. And have a good team. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. You're welcome. Take care.
Wonderful evening. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any new business that we have?
I would just like to say... because of the storm, a lot of our trees are in peril because of the wind damage, the salt and such. And I think it's going to be incumbent on us as a planning board to try to make sure that when the opportunity arises, that we do insist that trees get planted, new trees. And it will take many years to recover, I think, because the trees are really suffering. Hopefully they won't be that bad, but in anticipation that they do, I think it will be up to us to try to incorporate as many trees into the designs of applications as we can. And hopefully the tree commission that does exist can do a lot more to have the city plant trees wherever they can. That's it.
I'll vote for that.
Good comments.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm hoping my plums don't die.
Good luck.
Okay.
Yeah, the leaves are done.
The figs look pretty good. I was watching some fig trees today. They stood the storm.
Is there any further business, or would you like to get a motion for adjournment? And by the way, before we do that, thank you for a wonderful meeting tonight. We went through the gamut, a big gamut, but thank you very much.
Thanks all. Motion to adjourn.
And second. Let's have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Third. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night,
everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Carmelo.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Everyone have a good night.
Good night.
You too.
Have a good weekend. Good